Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing? This is Psychic X Journey Man here on Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link. Welcome to the show, and how are you? We always like to sit there and put a little handy out there and say, hi, what's up? So what's going on? What's going down? This is one of those situations where we look at the situation and say, okay, if you want to give, right now we're actually doing free readings today. We're also going to sit there and do some talking about some things which we have been going over quite a bit lately, which it seems to be relationships. And it's very important because relationships seem to be the most important thing in our lives. Well, I know we should sit there and balance things out and realize that we have five important aspects of our lives and focus on those two as well. And then we'll look at the situation very clearly and say, okay, what's important? Well, they're all important. This is what we always talk about, having balance in our lives. But if you want to give us a call in here, please do so. Give us a call at 646-721-9031. We're also with the situation. We also do private readings. If you want to take advantage of those private readings, please give us a call at 740-500-8863 or call me through Skype, which is actually 740-601-9835, or contact me through my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Alrighty. And also, we also acquired a sponsor for our show, and I think it's Richard Berlanga. And he has a website called divinebodywash.com. And he's saying right now, for listeners, any donations of $25, he will give you a bottle of body wash. And for donations $35 or more, he will also throw in body mist. And it's a very intense, I guess it's all natural ingredients. It's all spiritual lightening. And it's one of those things. All the ingredients are very good for the body, and opening certain senses and that kind of stuff, from what I've understood. And you should give it a shot. And we always appreciate the donations here too as well. So please donate to the show and help us get started. And it's one of those things of contributing to, like Richard said, contributing to not just the idea of the show and stuff, but also to the adventures that we're going to be going on here. Because in the process of going to Colorado, we're actually going to be going around Manitou Springs and old Colorado City and places like that, and start doing remotes where we'll be doing our show from certain locations. Manitou Springs and around the surrounding areas, very active with spirits and ghosts and that kind of stuff, and there's paranormal groups. And I have a paranormal group of my own called Psychic X Journey Man's Paranormal Investigators, and we're always constantly looking at certain things and that kind of stuff. We've actually examined the castle up here where I live at in Circleville, Ohio, and it's actually called the Castle, and it's down on, I think it's on North Court, no, I'm sorry, I think it's South Court Street, but it's actually a bed and breakfast now, and it's very active. I actually went into a couple hidden passages that they let me go through, and it was very interesting to actually go through pockets of energy, which I have never experienced before in the ideal of really getting that close and interacting. I've seen them, and I think I've spoken to them, But, you know, the idea of actually walking through one, that was a different experience. But in the process of going back and forth, I went back into this hidden passage, which I had to get down on my hands and knees, and there was really no other place to go. So I went back in as far as I could go. As I got about halfway through, I walked through a pocket of energy and got lightheaded and nauseous. So that was interesting in itself. So, like I said before, our sponsor, Richard Berlanga, with DivineBodyWash.com website, he says to the listeners, any donations of $25, he will give you a body. I want to say body. I don't know why. He'll give you a bottle of body wash. And for donations $35 or more, he will also give you a body. Here we go again. A bottle of body mist. So check it out. I hear it's very well, very good. I haven't heard anything bad about the body wash and the mist and his products. It really could. And he was also telling us last night, it was one of those things that was, he was prompted by spirit to actually go ahead and do this. And it's one of those things, I think we all should sit there and listen. And the more we listen, the more our lives really get better. You know, listen to when you're listening to your intuition, you're not just listening to your intuition. You're listening to spirits. You listen to your angels, God, Jesus, the ascended masters, you know, archangels, guardian angels, guides of all kinds. And it's actually been said that we actually do have five guides at least. They usually cover major parts, and then we have a main guide that we work with. It's almost like we communicate through him in the process, or him or her, to get as a connection to the others. So it's one of those things where we're slowly introduced to all these, but there's always that one. We always talk through and do that kind of thing. And I think also, let's see here, most are looking at the switchboard. Looking at the queue, I saw Dee's here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dee, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
So how are you? I didn't see you at first, so I could sit and say I heard her walk into the studio, so I opened the door. No.
Yeah,
anyway.
You're right. Yeah, I was a pocket of energy. No wonder you felt lousy.
There you go.
Yeah, right. No, I'm not too bad.
That's good.
I haven't heard a word yet about when my show is supposed to start.
Oh, have
like,
you? You have not?
No, I haven't heard a word from Jethro. I know he's moved to Florida, so
mm-hmm.
I figure that's, you know, a good part of it. He's been, I know he's busy, but eventually I'll find
right.
out when it is.
Mm-hmm.
At least I know it's coming.
Right.
And I think I finally picked my theme music, so.
Mm-hmm.
I went with what my
no
friend
problem.
Thought was the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. But, you know, it's not that I don't like the song, because I really do, but the one I was going to choose was just so upbeat and catchy and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting anyway, trying to find something that suits me and suits the show as well.
Yeah, Sarah, you know, it's like... I was going over some things myself, and we started looking at a lot of things with visualization, and people are always talking about visualizing things. But I still think they still think that there's limitations. I guess it's one of those things of working with energy to help people understand that when you're working with such energy and such itself, and even the word dominion, to have power over, that should give you kind of a hint into what how much control it should. Well, how much influence that you have over everything. And you should sit there and think about that. You know, first of all, look at the situation and go, whoa. Let's take a look at the things and think about it for a minute and go, what should I do? What should I do? That's the whole thing. Everybody says, what should I do? But everybody already has a preconceived thought of things that they want. And usually that's where it starts. It's the ideal, sitting down and trying to form, I always say try to conform, but also form affirmations and work and that kind of stuff that actually works toward your goal. What is your goal? It's not hard to really figure out what is your goal. We all have these wants, needs, and desires, and those are the starts, you know?
How true.
I was looking at some things myself of, if you're trying, if like you're working somewhere and you want to have more prosperity, maybe you should stop thinking about it and try to look at the ideal solution of what exactly you could do to actually meet that goal. Because I mean, I've gone over things before myself. Sometimes it's not the ideal that we're not supposed to have it. Sometimes it's just the ideal of detailing it, the whole thing, because if part of us believes we can have it and one part doesn't, you know, there has to be a whole of believing.
We don't always feel we deserve it.
Yeah.
That if the according to the Bible, it's the faith of a grain of mustard seed.
Yeah, mustard seed's not that big either, is it?
No, it's not.
So you look at the situation and say, okay. I think the one thing I've heard the most that I thought was interesting in itself is to hear people talk of somebody needs it more than I do. And I've heard that a couple of times. I was talking to someone earlier, and they were talking about somebody had got an offer that this person wanted to do something. All of a sudden, someone comes out of nowhere and says, I'll give you $30. And the guy goes, no, you need it more than I do. I think what I've experienced in the process of manifestations, that is a manifestation. And I also wrote on Facebook, I have this thing that says wishes. And I said, it says three wishes. Nope. You know, it's not three wishes. There is no limitation. And wish is just another name for manifestation. So when you sit there and put the two together, you know, you take wishing or wanting, and you sit there and say, okay, do I want to keep wishing or wanting, or do I want to have it? So therefore we go from there to say, okay, thank you so much for, you know, thank you so much for the blessing of having this. And next thing you know, you have it in your arms. And then you're sitting there going, okay, how'd that happen? It was just the idea of asking and letting it go. People go, I think it's the hardest part for people when you say detach yourself from your manifestations, and they're going, well, you said focus on it. Yeah, we're saying focus on the outcome. We're saying focus on living it. We're saying focus on conclusion, living your goal. That's what we're saying focus on. But everybody has a tendency to worry about the process, not realizing realistically by asking and putting it out to the universe. You know, it's like I heard this one time before. Someone says, when you order something from a catalog, do you order it 5 or 6 times before you get it? No, you don't. You order it, you see it, and then next you know it comes in your mail. And basically, that's about the same thing. You can. That's the way it is with manifestation. That's the process right there. Just do the same thing you would do if you were ordering something from a catalog. You know, you order it, and you forget about it. And then the mailman comes to your door and says, "This wouldn't fit in your mailbox," or whatever it is. And then next, you know, you have it just that quick, and you realize that, you know, there's a limitation on it. I've done this before. I've actually pushed the limit by saying something's supposed to be there in 7 days. And I said, no, it's not. It's going to be there in 4 days. And you know what happens by putting that focus on that? By saying, I just sit there and said it. I did, you know, just say, okay, 4 days. Now I see 4 days. And I just was so positive about the whole thing, I just let it go. Next thing I know, I got the thing in the mail, and I realized one thing. It was early. It did happen in 4 days. And when things don't fall into place and they have a tendency to be scattered, it's because I didn't put any kind of focus on it by saying this is what it should be, you know, or in the process of actually mailing something out to somebody, and there was all this chaos around it before it got there. I realized before I even left, the chaos was already there of the energy itself, and it seemed to follow that letter, which it took a lot longer to get there, even to the point where it got lost. It finally did get there, but it's amazing when you have that chaotic thinking. It has a tendency to affect everything. But on the other note, when you put out positive energy and say, okay, say for instance, people are always saying things are dangerous. And when they put that kind of smig on it, they always have bad things happen to them. But I think it's their fault. I really do. I just look at the situation and saying, you put it out there, you manifested it because you even thought about it. And I said, try this one time. Take a letter, put some money in it, send it to somebody, but before you mail it, ask the angels to protect it and get it there early. And then see what happens. Every time I've done that, it's always shown up a day early, and it's been untouched and unscathed. perfectly. It's protected. You can't sit there and ask for protection from your angels, your guides, God, Jesus, or anybody else without having faith behind it. And then expect, you know, if you don't have that faith behind it, don't expect a positive outcome. Because you put, because it's like a consequence of your actions. You know, I've heard so many people say, hey, this happened to me, and I'm mad at God for allowing this to happen, not realizing it was just the consequences of our own actions. And that's why God keeps telling us all the time, I'm not doing anything. I can help you. I can sit there and help you through certain things. I can help you through anything, basically. We'll put it that way. I can help you do anything and everything. Nothing's impossible through me. The only time it's ever impossible is when you try to do it yourself, because you have a tendency to doubt yourself. But if you always focus on the positive part of the whole thing of saying, you know, I'm a part of God. God's always there with me and work as a co-creator. It's amazing exactly what you can create. But it's a teamwork. You have angels and guides and spirits and everything around you. Why is that? You know, it's like look at the situation of, you know, the God's corporation. He's the president. And then all these other things filter down. But they all work together. And when you allow them to all work together in your life, it's amazing that if your life is chaotic, more than likely it means you're not listening. And you're not allowing. And you're not being. You're trying to do all the doing. You're trying to focus on structure. And when you look at those things, you're trying to do all the doing part. You're not thinking about the being part. When you focus on the structure, you're not focused on the flow. So how can you go anywhere? Am I right or wrong? Can I get an amen?
Amen, brother. How's that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
I'm just saying, with the situation, I don't need somebody telling me God exists. If we open our eyes, we can see it every day within ourselves and within the world. Because it says when you can see God within everybody else, more likely, if you look in the mirror, you'll see it within yourself. Because you reflect what you are to everyone else, and it reflects back to you as well. So therefore, isn't that great? We have a great country going on. I want to look at the situation, too, in this one book where it has certain meditations. Like, try this one here, okay? You make it a reality in consciousness by personalizing it. Anytime, anything you do, right? Like this here, I am rich. I am lavish abundance of the universe individualized. All that the Father has is mine, and my prosperity is assured. I am now filled and thrilled with the consciousness of abundance and plenty. But it's with, see what they always say, within. It's with the consciousness of abundance and plenty. Even when they don't say within, they always say consciousness. We know where consciousness is, don't we? It's not out there on Joe's head. It's in mine. So, acknowledgement. Acknowledge that if you are from the source, if you are a manifestation of God, then you have all the tools that you need to have the life that you want and that you see. So therefore, it's time for you to sit back and be. There is a super consciousness of God within you, within me now. It is the master self that I am in truth, the master consciousness that I am. It is closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. I look within and sense this all-knowing mind, and I feel the presence of love in my heart. Then you focus on another thing and go, okay, with that kind of energy, they say I can attract anything to me. And it's always saying, and that's one thing we look at the situation too, people, when it says and it talks about with love, I can attract every good thing to me. Listen to that statement, every good thing. Everything that's good for you, you can attract to you. So therefore, if you attract a certain person into your life who's not good for you, it's trying to tell you something. Every good thing, you can attract every good thing. Okay? But it's also telling you, let's say that you attract someone into your life, and all of a sudden you guys are pulled apart from each other. It's probably what it's doing is, it's trying to point out to you that every good thing comes to you and stays with you. It's yours. But if you don't keep it and it doesn't stay in your life and it keeps going out, I think it's time to let it go and say, okay, maybe that's not good for me. Because every good thing comes to me, so that can't be good for me. And the idea of sitting there taking a hammer and trying to pound it in there until it is good for you, there's a trick. I've seen so many people do that stuff too. It's like, you know, call you up and say, is this guy good for me or not? Because I know he is. Okay, thank you. So there's limitations on my answer, you know. They're trying to, they want me to sit there and basically tell them that they're right. And if I sit there and say anything otherwise, I'm wrong. And my biggest thing is with some people who call you up and say, you know, I don't know what's going on here. Okay. And then I sit there and focus on the situation. I tell them what's going on. And then they come back and say, no, that's not it. My question is, where is their foundation for that answer? You're wrong. I said, how am I wrong? What are you basing that on? Since you'd have no idea. You have no clue. But you're telling me I'm wrong. How do you know that? And they go, because it doesn't fit into my picture. I said, they might as well just say that. It doesn't fit into what I've already preconceived in my mind of what it should be. Here's a meditation that will help in opening your faculties of intuition. It goes like this. I am poised and powerful in the presence of God. My emotional nature is quiet. My mind is still. And I am one with my all-knowing self. Detached from this world, impersonal to illusion, I am totally open to the divine revelations from above. From the radiance illuminating my mind, I see only reality. From the celestial note issuing forth from the highest realm of my being, I hear only harmony. From the stream of crystal clear essence pouring into my consciousness from on high, I know only the truth. From the pure light of intuition, I know the way. I am now able to take direct and correct action. I know what to do, how to do it, and when. I am a divine knower. My knowingness now reveals the plan and my part in it. I watch, I listen, I wait. I see, I hear, I know. I now move forward to accomplish that which is mine to do. You know, when you sit there and think about that, just those statements in themselves, you know, the idea of focusing on those things, you basically have probably already done those things. And now it's just time to work on that and see just how powerful are you. There was also talking about, and this is a great book too, it's called Empowerment. You Can Do, Be, and Have All Things by John Randolph Price. The best-selling author of Angels Within Us. It's also on my website too. And what is my website? Oh, it's www.psychicxjourneyman.com on the spiritual book page. I usually put all the books that I recommend and that kind of stuff on there, so it makes it easier for you to get the information to actually go to Amazon.com and get it. And actually, if you want to order some cards as well, I actually have links on there right now. Therefore, you can go in there and get those cards and purchase those things through Amazon.com and the books themselves. And I'm trying to get them all, as many books as I can, where you can just go and click on those buttons and actually get those books, those cards, just that easy. So check them out on my website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com, and make it easier on yourself. Instead of going through Amazon or going through your computer and trying to get there and that kind of stuff, one click away. Actually, two clicks. You just go to the website, go to my page, where it says Spiritual Books. It's on there, right there. And I've actually recommended the idea of The Soulmate Secret by Ariel Ford. And simply all you got to do is go to my website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com, and all you have to do is push the link. And all you got to do is purchase that book, which I feel like it would definitely change, because there's so much information. And if you ever seen all my journals, I have a tendency to rewrite a lot of things because I like to redo them. Not because it's the idea of any kind of craziness. It's just the idea that we should take all this stuff that we learn and conform it to our own lives so it works for us. And I think it's what the people who write the books want us to do too. These are just blueprints. Like this one here. This is talking about the buttons within us, the energies of will, love, and creative intelligence. And basically what it says is it's the idea of focusing on these buttons within us. To turn this on, like employing the energy of will and purpose. It's the idea of focusing and noticing, hey, you probably more likely the will and purpose, the energy of will and purpose has been turned off. So it's a process of actually turning these on. What you need to do is notice that the switch is off, position, see yourself flipping the switch on, and hear the sound deep within you, a hum similar to a generator starting up. Okay, maybe that was a little crazy with the sound effects, but hey, work with me here, okay? And it says mentally connect with the radiating energy and the feel the vibration. So what you're going to do is you're going to reach inside yourself. You're going to go click that button on. Look at it. It's going to be a button that says the energy of will and purpose on it. Okay? Imagine yourself clicking it on and then feeling a feeling within yourself, like a generator starting up, which is actually your vibration being elevated. Okay? And while you're using this imagination to activate your energy flow, this is not an imaginary exercise. Okay? It's not. It's just the ideal. Imagination is the key to manifestation. And so what we're trying to do is we're just trying to get things moving again within yourself to get that vibration up so we can actually do the work. Okay? And imagining feeling action, and it is literally directing the flow of energy through your system, through your body. Once you feel the radiation, speak these words with great enthusiasm. The power of God is working mightily in me now. I am hooked up to the dynamo within, and I am electrified with the divine energy of will and purpose. I am quickened from head to toe, gallivanted into action by the invincible currents flowing in and through me. I am stirred and excited and thrilled over the opportunity this day to be and do and have according to the unlimited vision of the Master Self I Am. I no longer stand in my way, for I am God in expression, and God does not have obstacles or obstructions. My consciousness is on fire with will and purpose, and I am fired up. I now go forth to joyfully accomplish my mission. And if you want to take a little bit, and if you want to sit here and have a little affirmation, you say during the day, just say to yourself as you're going through the day to keep this energy flowing, I work powerfully and purposely for God, and my life is filled with wholeness, harmony, and abundance. Okay? And that's one of the buttons. The next button is called check the queue and see if anybody's there. All right. No one's hanging out yet, but hey, if you want to give us a call in here, please do so. Give us a call at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. Please give us donations, as we are trying to really put a lot into the show. And just think of it like this, as being a partner and the ideal of actually, you know, delivering the message, and you'll be a part of that message. And the ideal of everything that goes on with this show and wherever it goes, remember, you'll be a part of that too as well. And this is information. Okay, the next one is employing the energy of unconditional love button. And what you need to do is take that whole situation and just look inside yourself, and you'll see a button that's like a switch. It looks like a light switch. You know, imagine that, a light switch. Click. And then you click the thing on, energy of unconditional love. And the switch is, you switch it from off to on. You reach into your consciousness and flip it on. This is the time that sounds, this time it's the sound you hear with your inner ear is like a music tone. Dong. Okay? And that is your note. That is your note. Okay, let's try this again. And that is your inner ear is like a musical tone. And that is your note that is playing. Listen and more deeply and move deeply into your consciousness to become one with the tone. It's like a tuning fork. Or if you have one of those little things that you play guitar, something that you could actually focus on at the time you're turning the switch on to help you take you deeper into consciousness. Whatever works for you. Get a tone, a piano, or whatever it is. Some people have those little machines, little computers. You can hit it. There's a button on there. It goes, dum, and it radiates, you know, radiates. And let's see here. Move deeply into consciousness to become one with the tone. What they're saying is you're feeling, as you feel one-on-one with this tone, you can actually literally take your vibration and literally just say, rise the vibration and raise the vibration. Just as simple as that. See, sometimes we try too hard with everything else that goes on out there, not realizing it's just the idea. I used to go to the freaking plasma center to donate plasma sometimes, and sometimes if you go in there, they're pretty strict about some stupid things, where if your pulse is too high, they won't allow you to do that. Not realizing, I just ran from the bus across the street down to the thing to get in there, and or even walked. Even the process of even walking, if anybody's ever been in Colorado, there's nothing flat. So the idea is, well, your pulse is kind of high. Well, I just came in here 5 minutes ago, man. So what I would do, instead of getting caught up in the whole thing, I would sit there and focus on bringing my pulse down. And they would sit there, okay, come back. You want to try it again? You sure? You know, if it doesn't come down this time, I'm sitting there going, I ain't worried about it. What I would do is, in the process of trying to focus on bringing it down, I would sit there and ask them, what is the pulse that would actually be good? And they would say 96. I said, okay. So what I would do is I'd focus on 86. And this is not the idea of wanting to be at 86. It's the idea of coming down to there. Because I knew once I did it, I would be about 95, 96. I would be right in there where I needed to be at. And there was some days I would just focus and say, let's get this over with. I need 96. But it was the ideal focus point. You know, people want to lose weight, but they all say, that's what they talk about. I want to lose weight. But they don't really focus on exactly where they want to be at. They want to focus on how much weight they need to lose. See, you're focusing on that 50 pounds. And why it's so hard to get rid of that 50 pounds, because that's all you're focusing on. What you need to do is take a look at the situation, like in my journal. I want to weigh 224 all the time. So what I always say is I now weigh 224 pounds. I am in perfect physical condition. I have a 33-inch waist. And see, you specify. There's nothing wrong with being detailed. Okay, and then we simply look at this. So here it's spreading through your entire field, your energy field. See, you become the tone. In the process of a tone, you ever notice how a tone, after it resonates. How it resonates, it will eventually dissipate. So what you try to do is you listen to that, okay? And when you feel that dissipation, and the beginning and the end, okay? You can actually create that within yourself. Raise your vibration. And you can, some people, you know, like you've heard people when they do their, when they sing, they go, you know, these have tendency to go, da, 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 da. They go up. Well, you sit there and focus on your energy and the air coming through your throat and your vocal cords to create that sound. But you notice how much, after you do it for a while, you have control over it. Well, it's the same thing with the energy within yourself. You can do the same thing. So you get yourself into a situation and say, okay, you're negative. And you go, well, what you do is you focus and say, no, hold up, take a breath. You start breathing within through your nose and, out through, and then you breathe out your mouth and you start focusing on bringing your vibration up, saying, no, I'm not going to let this bring me down. I'm going to rise above it. And that's what it means by rise above it, to rise that energy up, to look at it differently so you can see over the wall and say, you know something, the wall was an illusion. And you can, and some people look at the wall and go, there's no way over because the wall is so high. But see, that's an illusion. Once you get to the wall and you realize you could actually reach up and pull yourself over. But when you're way back there, it's like, oh, it seems like it's too high because you can't see past it. It's the idea of realizing you can. And this energy here, the energy of unconditional love, okay, what you do is you, a nice little affirmation here where it says, God loves me. God loves me. Regardless of any mistakes I have ever made, the creator of life loves me with all its being. And since God loves me, how could I possibly not love myself? Oh, and say your name. I say, oh, Donnie, I love you so. I love this me that is. The I that I am, this self, this person, this mind, this spirit, my God, I am talking about you. When I talk about myself, I am loving you. And when I love you, I am loving myself. For we are eternally one. What a glorious truth. Now that I am aware again that love is the reality behind all form, I cannot love anything without loving everything. And so I do. I love everyone and everything everywhere. There are no conditions to this love, no qualifications. I am in love, and love is in me. And I let the glorious love energy pour through me now to heal every relationship and harmonize every situation in my life. I am a radiating center of divine love. I feel it, I know it, I am it. I now go forth into the world as this incredible energy of love. A simple affirmation would just say, hey, as you go through your day, say this to yourself to keep this energy going. I work lovingly and easily for God, and my life is filled with wholeness, harmony, and abundance. Then we move on to the energy of creative intelligence. Then we do the same process, basically, like looking within, seeing the switch. Oops, hey, look, it's off. So we turn it on. It sounds like the wind blowing through you. as if exhaling a deep breath, only continuous. Feel this gentle whispering breath circulating through your mind. See it as a soft light expanding in your head. Then move down to your heart, on down to your solar plex, radiating down your body and out all around you. Once you are centered in the light, speak these words with great feeling. I see, I understand, I know, I am. I mentally see the truth with every so-called problem. I intuitively see the reality behind every illusion. I thoughtfully see through every obstacle. I understand the principle of being. I know the absoluteness of the law. I am a spiritual being, and I am free to be according to my highest vision. There is great clarity in my consciousness now as I view that which is before me to do. As a creator with God, I conceive and extend only the true thought forms of wholeness, harmony, and abundance. I see myself living in a world of perfect peace, in a world filled with love and joy where the sense of separation from the source is completely healed. In my creative imagination, I see myself as whole and healed, with an all-sufficiency of all things at all times. I see myself as loved and loving unconditionally. I see myself as joyous, happy, and delighted to be me. I am on course now, poised, secure, and confident in the light of creative intelligence. And as you go through your day, my soul affirmation to say to yourself is, I work creatively and thoughtfully for God, and my life is filled with wholeness, harmony, and abundance. And how do you like that one? Kaboom. Anyway, it's the idea of putting these things all together, because this is like leading us up to what we want to do. We got the intuitional meditation. We have the other meditation of working on things, because we want to manifest our lives. We see something. We all say, I should be living this, this, and this, and this. So it's the idea of taking that if, I should be living it, and say to yourself, what is it? We always say, I am. And the I am of God. I am, I am, I am. I am love. I am love, I am love. Just try that one for a minute. Say, I am love, I am love, I am love, I am love. Just sit there and say it over and over again. Now take it one step further and sit there and bow your head. Focus on the space behind your heart, the essence, the God essence, they say. See, you can either see an aqua blue plasma, you can see a pilot light, you know, the flame flickering. Whatever works for you, focus on that. And then just keep saying to yourself, I am love, I am love, I am love. And then say, I love. See what you're saying? You're saying, I am love, and I love. So you're getting that flow going again, not just the idea within yourself, but also outwards. But it starts with you. It's like the idea of the river starts somewhere, don't it? Usually a huge lake. Imagine yourself as a huge lake, and as this huge lake, you have this stream coming out of you that's going out into the world. As you are life itself, you also have a tendency to affect life around you. And this is how it works. And you say, I am love. But at the same time, we also know what I am is too. This is God. So you're saying, I am love. Do you see that one little mark? You're still focusing and talking to yourself, but you're still talking to God at the same time. Incredible. So you see, you all want to make it complicated. It's easy. It's just the idea of realizing that love, and we've had some psychologists and some therapists, you can't live on love. Smack! Yeah, they're going to be walking away with a big old hamper on their hands. You know why? Because people say it's kind of violent. I don't think it is. I think it's just a wake-up call for people to smack somebody and say, hey, snap out of it. You know, watch what you're saying. You're sitting there, first you're saying, you're talking about all these little techniques of loving yourself and all this other stuff, and then you tell somebody you can't live on love. You can't make a relationship work on just love. You got to have money. You got to have materialistic bullshit. I don't know why they don't say the bullshit word, but, you know, they always say, you know, got to have all these little things. It just don't work. Not realizing the love, the energy of love is the freaking thing that actually attracts all this stuff to you and the people and the things. When we start focusing on just materialistic crap, we attract people into our lives who also reflect the same thing, a false sense of foundation. And when all these things are gone, we have no foundation. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
She You fell asleep.
Well,
okay,
well, I'm here.
I'm just saying, we have a caller. So let's sit down and take our caller. And,
whoa, we have
and
a caller.
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm trying to click that button, and it's driving me nuts. There we go. It clicked. I'm thinking about, as soon as this money comes through, I'm going down and buying me a freaking laptop and changing all this mechanical stuff and upgrading everything in it so it all works for me. I feel like if I get a laptop that's mine and I'm not working through anybody else's stuff, then it's just my energy and it should all work for me. As in, okay, angels, we're going to sit down and we're going to have a perfect, whatever I do on this computer, it's going to be perfectly heard, perfectly seen, whatever it is. The idea, put it out there, clearly focus and just let all this information flow, which people are probably out there saying, well, right now it seems like it's flowing pretty well for you. You're right. It's just the mechanical things, and you're right. It's kind of like a materialistic crap that we have to look at too and say, okay, maybe it's just one of those messages or sign that says you need to take it somewhere else and do it through a different
avenue. Time to get a laptop, Donnie.
Yeah, so there you go.
I wouldn't go back to a PC for anything.
I got you. Let's see, area code 919, you are on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Hi.
I like all of your affirmations. I'm going to start using them.
Yes, you should. I was telling everybody else, I'm like, I'm sorry, guys, but there was a lady on the show yesterday. She said it just right. She goes, when I start going, you might as well just stand back and let it happen. Because it's the idea of a message is coming through. And I try to tell everybody, I'm not trying to steal the show, but it is mine. Anyway.
You figured that one out, did you?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I have tendency to get a little crazy. But I want to do one thing, and I really want to get the money coming in so we could actually do a midnight show. We used to do a midnight roundtable show where people would just come on, and we'd open up everybody's mic, where everybody could contribute to the show, and we would kind of throw out topics, and people would bring topics to the show and that kind of stuff, and really do a round table, and everybody would just, we would sit and talk about things. And I told everybody, I said, I don't care what it is. I don't care if you don't like psychics. Just sit down and talk about it. And we put it out there, and what we would do, we still would do readings and stuff, but we would just let everybody contribute. You know, a lot of people are amateur psychics who've been doing it probably for a long time, and just, you never haven't taken the steps to do it anywhere, you know, do it any further than that. But it gave them an opportunity to come on the show, and when they felt like they had something to contribute to the whole thing, they had the avenue to do so. So, and those shows was amazing for a midnight show. They were very popular. And we did one last month, I think. We did a couple of them last month, and everybody. And the reason we did, because someone actually came to me and said, hey, how come you're not doing those shows? And I said, oh, you're right. We haven't done a couple of those shows in a while, so let's go back to it. But we were talking about Atlantis, and we were talking about Bigfoot, and we were talking about spirituality, and we were talking about psychics and how to contribute, and even how to sit down and ask a question to a psychic. Because the question came up, is there a way of actually asking a question without putting negativity on it? Because anytime you ask a question, will it happen? You're basically having doubt when you ask the question. So we were trying to sit there and go, how can you ask the question in a positive way? So I said, why don't you just sit there and do this? You met somebody, right? Okay, I met somebody. This is their name. This is their birthday. This is my name. This is my birthday. What do you think? You know, just have someone put some information as in whatever comes to them. You don't put any kind of negativity on it. You're just asking them what they think, which hasn't, you know, so you're not doubting yourself one time. Or just looking at questions and just saying, you know, I feel this is what's going to happen here, and I'm just looking for some information or guidance to actually keep going in the right direction of what I already see. So, you know, it's like some people just call up and say, am I ever going to meet somebody? And I have a tendency to be funny, too, sometimes. I'll just say no. You know, they go, what? I say, well, just listen to what you just said. Will I ever meet anybody? Isn't that kind of negative? Will you ever meet anybody? My gosh. You know? And I said, my belief is everybody is destined to be with somebody unless they choose not to be. Okay? So it's like choices. Everybody says, I don't want nothing. Well, let me rephrase that. Not everybody says that, but I'm saying some people have a tendency to say, I don't want nothing. Okay? I don't want nothing? Yeah, you do. Think about it. You go to bed tonight. Don't you want to get up in the morning? Of course you do. So you want to get up. So you see, there's a lot of wants that we don't think about. And then we also said, think about it. When you put it in that perspective, wanting is not as bad as most people think. It's the idea of going back to what we said before. Giving and receiving are equally important. If you're a person that says, I don't want nothing, you better rethink that, because wanting is what I call direction. And it puts us in a situation, because we basically have a life that we're destined to live. Because if we didn't, we wouldn't be here. So therefore, we need to take a look at the situation and ask ourselves, are there certain things you want to do? Don't you want to what? Don't you want to do anything? Do you want to breathe? I want to breathe. Don't you want a sandwich? I want a sandwich. So you see, we do wantings all the time. There was actually this one part here, so it's applying the steps and sequence, a meditative treatment. And what this is a spiritual treatment. Excuse me. That basically starts off with, let the master self speak to you now. The master self is God. And basically how this thing goes is, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, for you are my expression, the light of light, the light of my light. I have filled myself as you, and I have given myself to you. All that I am, you are, for you are my expression. I am all that you can conceive of me to be, your supply, your health, your work, your relationship, your protection, your all. I ask only that you abide in me and look to me as your all-sufficiency, knowing that I withhold nothing from you. Now choose that which you desire in my name, the name of I am. And what we do is you go once, say this to yourself, say this in silence or yourself, or you can say it out loud, whichever feels good for you. I am God in expression. God is as me now. And the true self of me has assumed its rightful position on the throne of my heart. For the feeling of love tells me so. I now have the power of dominion. I am now a co-creator with God. I now have divine authority to manifest the fulfillment of my desires. And I use this power rightly and wisely. In your mind, right now, in your mind, see a white screen, and on the screen, see the words I choose, with the line following as if on a ruled tablet. Now fill in the blanks in your own handwriting. Simply imagine that you are writing on the inner tablet of mind the choices for this particular time in your life. After you have mentally written your desires, go back and focus on each word with great clarity. See the meaning of the words and let them become deeply impressed in your mind. Now say to yourself, or say out loudly, I always say these things out loud, I'm sorry. I accept the fulfillment of this desire now. With all my mind, with all my heart, with all my soul, I accept this fulfillment now. And I feel the spiritual ideal representing this fulfillment entering my consciousness. It is the ideal of completion, and it has moved into my feeling nature. Its vibration is warm and pleasant, and I love the feeling. I accept all the good that God has for me now, because I have accepted the fulfillment of my desire. I now have it. I now have the object of my desire. I no longer need what I formerly desired because I now have it. And it feels so good. Through this knowledge of have, I know that I am that which I desire. I am abundance. I am radiant wholeness. I am the ideal relationship. I am the total fulfillment of every desire. Okay, in your mind's eye, look at the white screen again, and on the screen, begin to play your mental movie. Take yourself into the carefully constructed scenario, and in your mind, begin doing, being, and having, and enjoying your good in overflowing measure. Play the joyful, happy, and freedom-loving role with all the enthusiasm you can muster. Add color, sound, dimension. Etch every detail deeply into consciousness, knowing that what you are being, doing, and having in your imagination is now, the present time, and not at a point in the future. In your controlled imaginary be and do and have the best that you can conceive. Lift up your vision and imagine the highest and the most fulfilling scenario, the scenes that you can produce in your mind. Feel the excitement of seeing your desire already fulfilled. It is so wonderful. See it, feel it, know it. With your mind, focus on those beautiful images. Begin now to let all the love you can feel in your heart pour out. Love those images of fulfillment. Say to yourself, oh, how I love what I see. I love the joyous expressions and the happy scenes. I love doing what I love to do. I love being what I want to be. I love having what I want to have. I love the pictures of total fulfillment that I am now seeing in my mind and feeling in my heart. Okay, after several minutes of visualizing your fulfillment, close the curtain on the screen of your mind and turn within to the ever-present reality of you, your master self, letting the feeling of the presence enter your heart. Say to yourself out loud, if possible, nothing is too good for me to have or experience. So in the name and through the power of my holy self, I speak the word. I let there be total fulfillment now. I let all the good that God has for me come forth into manifestation here now. I let the Spirit of God work in and through me to meet every need, solve every problem, appear as the fulfillment of every desire. My faith in the loving givingness of God is mighty, and my good does now come forth into visible form and experience. All my good does now come forth by the power of my word. It is done, and it is so. And then silently say to yourself, I now totally and completely surrender to the activity of God, the only power at work in my life. I let go and let God be God. I let God and let the Spirit of God do its perfect work in and through me. My holy master self within, the Father, the fathering and mothering aspect of my being, I completely surrender now to your goodwill. I know that even in my highest vision, I cannot behold the fullness of the glory that you have planned for me since the beginning. So I release my needs, desires, images, and will to you, and I am willing to accept my highest and greatest good now. I know that by releasing everything to you, I have released the mighty currents of creative energy into my life and affairs, and I know that only that which is good, beautiful, abundant, peaceful, and joyful is now flowing into perfect manifestation in my world. Thank you, my beloved sacredness, for this new life of light, love and light. Thank you for the total fulfillment now. My heart overflows with gratitude and joy. My cup runneth over, and I am thankful, so thankful. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Rest for a period in silence. Take a breather. I need to take a breather. I now move into action in my world as a co-creator with God, always listening to the inner guidance and doing that which is mine to do to the very best of my ability. And that is the process. It's always a screen within your mind. It's like the idea of playing these things out, because we always sit and talk about the idea of manifestation. A manifestation is basically that feeling. You have this little mental picture, and then you take it and put color. You put feelings, sounds, tones, music, you know, songs and that kind of stuff, and just put it all together. Because in the process of actually having a certain scenario, like a perfect relationship, we always have our favorite songs, we have our favorite this, that, and the other. So it's the idea of putting those all in the equation and actually putting them together to actually sit there and go, okay, take a look at the situation. What do you got? Can you feel it? And then take that one step further and say, okay, I don't know if I can really feel it. Well, ask yourself, in the process of your manifestation, if it happened right now, how would you feel? How would you feel? How would you feel? Because when you put the feeling into the whole thing, it seems like all the rest of it seems to fall into place. You know, you sit there and when you're putting a puzzle together, there's always that one piece. Once you find that one piece, there's usually like six or seven of the pieces just fall into place. And then when you get to the bottom of it and you're about ready to finish the puzzle, you find and you're having a little difficulties, and all of a sudden, once you find that last piece, then you find the last six. And then you complete the picture. And that's what it's all about. And let me ask you a question. Area code 19919. It's April, right?
Yes.
Okay. I just had to clarify. I knew. I was just making sure. Because one time I was sitting talking to somebody, and I thought I knew him, and I didn't. So it's just one of those things that clarifying things and going, okay, do you know me? I said, maybe not in this lifetime, but now we've crossed paths and now we're good. Yeah, Dee, this is my friend April, and April, this is Dee, my co-host.
Hi.
Hi, Dee. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
So, April, would you like to try to do a couple readings or something? Or just tell us some information if you pick anything up?
You were talking about manifestation. I guess I could talk about that.
Okay. We got some callers on the line. I actually got two.
Wow.
I was actually looking at some time. You make it sound like we don't get callers, man. Come on.
Well, we did the one night when it was just the Donnie and Dee show, if you recall.
Yeah, everybody was calling it that night, wasn't they? You're like, okay, let's repeat that one, huh?
Oh, yeah, that was a real... Kept you on your toes.
Well, we try to understand that, help people understand that when they call the show, we are not a conveyor belt. So we don't sit there and 2 minutes, you got to go, 2 minutes, you got to go, 2 minutes, you got to go. We have a tendency to, when someone calls, we feel like me personally, I give my full attention. So therefore, I did a reading for one person one night for 40 minutes, and people are like, just so ticked off. And it's like, you should sit back and stop being ticked off and start looking at the situation. Because I guarantee you that all the information that comes through this show is going to resonate with you sometime down your life, or you would not be hearing it. Everything happens for a reason. And if we all sit here and say that too, but we have a tendency to question it, okay? I'm sitting here saying, I had a friend, like I said before, I had this girlfriend I had last summer. She sent me something through an email and said, check this out. It was my horoscope. And in the midst of this horoscope, I told her, I said, did you read this? And she goes, yes, I did. I said, good, because I felt like this message just wasn't for me. It was also for you. And in the process of being in a relationship, more than likely when you get messages, it usually resonates for both of them. And it makes perfect sense why it would, because it would make a big difference in both their lives to actually enhance the relationship they already have between the two of them. So, you know, the situation, we've had people call on the show, too. I think you was here one night, too, Dee, where a lady calls in and said she already got her question answered. She just wanted to come on and talk and, you know, share her views on things. But she said pretty much at the beginning of the show, when she was listening, she got her answers to her questions. And that's the whole thing about why we like doing this kind of format, to help people out, this kind of thing. Someone's getting a message, but not just one person is getting that message. If you open yourself up to the situation, you will understand where we're coming from, instead of always getting mad because you haven't got on. And maybe you are too attached to the situation that you're focusing on wanting to ask the question about in the first place. That's another thing you need to take a step back and look at, too. How attached are you to that question in that situation? That's the biggest thing. That is standing out the most in your life. I got to get that question on there, man. I got to get on, man. This guy, this woman, he's like, this woman's talking too much. You get on my nerves. You know, it's like, we tell people, if you feel
yeah,
like
I did get on somebody's nerves.
All right, so, you know, you sit there and go on the situation and say, okay, it's okay. But they also have to understand that we're not a conveyor belt. We're not an assembly line. We're here to help people. It might take 3 minutes. It might take 10. It might take 60. It's just the ideal that sometimes even when people leave, I still feel like there's more to give. So, it's kind of like one of those things where that's why I always encourage people. And I've had this before too. People say, well, if you keep giving readings like down the air, who's going to come to you? I said, I also do relationship counseling, life coaching, and we do seven card, they're called seven card pyramid foundation readings, and that's almost 40 minutes in itself. And, Those kind of readings really don't work unless it's a private setting anyway, you know, with the situation and that kind of stuff. And we've actually done some past life readings on here, too. Those are readings. The difference between a reading and a life past life regression is more meditation, hypnosis, and talking someone into a meditative state so they can actually work with their angels to go back to certain parts in their past lives. A past life reading is what I do the work for you, and it's what we do on the show. You give me your information, we talk, and then I start picking up on lifetimes and giving you the information on those where you don't have to do the regressional part. But it's amazing how you do those kind of readings with people and how much it does resonate with their personality and who they are right now. and then you trace it back to a point and say, okay, you need to let go of that because it started with this lifetime. Now you know it. And it's amazing how easy it is for them to let go of it when they find where it originated from. So it's very important. And the idea of manifestation, we were sort of focused on the manifestation. The manifestation is actually realistically the easiest thing you can do. I've actually done things in 5 minutes. And it's basically the key to manifestation is really is detachment, of letting it go, and actually looking at the situation as an anticipation, a savoring the waiting, not getting angry because it's taking too long. See, that's a human concept that says it's taking too long, when it's actually taking as long as it needs to. And basically when your center caught up in that kind of format of saying, okay, it's taking too long, your resistance is so high, it's amazing it could happen at all. And it's when you let that resistance down and you let that resistance go completely, that's when things pops into your life. And most of the time with manifestations, you don't even notice it. It's one of those things you look back on and go, oh my gosh, I've been in a relationship for 4 months. And then you realize you manifested this relationship. And it did happen just exactly the way you had put it out to the universe. But you were so caught up in living your life and having a good time, you never noticed. And that's the ideal manifestation. When we sit here and say, focus, and say, okay, what would you feel like? How would it feel right now at this moment? Okay? What would it feel like at this moment if it happened? That means you sit there and play that mental picture in your mind of it happening. Because if you can play that in your mind, it's happening in your mind. And then you sit back and allow it to happen, and then it'll be happening in your physical world, and it'll be visual. It'll be a visible manifestation. Because it's the idea of realizing that you are the tool that bring, you're the tool, you're the gate. You're the vehicle that's going to bring that manifestation into reality. You know, they all sit there and say, you know, let God use me. It's the idea of those manifestations coming through you. Can you imagine people seeing these things happen in your life just by you saying and working with your journal and all these other things, and you tell people all about it. Ooh, I'm just having a great time doing this stuff. And then they see all this stuff happen. Do you imagine what kind of effect it's going to have on their lives? They're going to start thinking differently too. And then those people who have friends, they're going to see that. It sets off a chain reaction. And everybody starts getting this notion in their heads that they can actually do the same thing because they saw it happen through you, which started the whole thing off. So it's like the idea of looking at the situation. The next time you sit and say, I'm not important, or God made a mistake, it's the idea of looking at yourself and saying, you know something? You are important, or you wouldn't be here in the first place. And it's the idea of God didn't do nothing. God created you. He also gave you all the things that he has too as well to be successful on this planet. It's just the idea of sitting down going, okay, what am I going to do now? You going to go out there and do it? Everything's happening in your life the way it is right now because we sit here and say it before, like, look past the illusion. Look past the illusion. What is the illusion? The illusion is everything is happening today is because of how you used to think yesterday. So tomorrow is going to be totally different just by the way you change your thinking, your focus, and how you see and feel that. What are you going to do? Conceive it? Do it then. Birth can happen in all kinds of realms. Not just in the physical sense, but also a birth of a manifestation, a birth of an ideal, you know, a birth of a corporation. Just so-and-so, you know, a birth of a relationship. I've always sat here and told people relationships are the ideal. I always felt like in the process of making a decision to get married is actually a beginning of something new again. So it's the idea of looking at things and saying, you know, nothing lasts forever. Of course it doesn't. It manifests into something else. It usually goes from a lower form to a higher form. It gets better and better and better and better. And it's just one of those things, if you allow it to. But sometimes we have a tendency to stand in our way with the negativity of the same way we get mad at ourselves. It's just the idea of realizing one thing. Hey, I made a mistake. Okay. That's all it is. You just made a mistake. But from that mistake you made, you also notice that. So therefore you know there's a different direction. So it's about time to start heading in that direction. So I think we should answer some questions for other people, what do you say?
Sounds good to me.
April,
yeah.
April, do you have any questions?
Nope.
I'm just saying, if anything I say doesn't make any sense or you're just kind of curious about maybe a little bit more in depth about the whole thing, just ask. I have no problems.
Okay.
Huh?
I'll ask if I get confused about something.
Okay, I'm just saying.
But you explained it perfectly.
Okay. Well, thanks. I've had people come on the show. They kind of give me goosebumps when they say, "Wow, the way you come across, it went right through me, man." Do you know? One night I was sitting there, in April. I went on someone else's show. I got an invitation to go on someone else's show. So I went to someone else's show. I'm sitting there waiting to go on. I'm listening to the show, right? And they're sitting there going, "This is a guy who," and I didn't know who they were talking about. I didn't catch the first part. All I heard was this testimonial where they said, this is a guy that gives you information, not just for a day, not for a week, not for a month, but for a lifetime. And just went into this freaking thing, and I'm sitting there going, "Who's this? Is there somebody else on the show?" and they said, and they go, here he is, psychic extra journey man. I was like, "Oh, it's me." Wow. Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. I come on the show, and I was like, "I'm sorry, guys. I have no idea what to say now." I'm kind of speechless. I could also hear some of my friends going, "What? For the first time, he's speechless?" Okay. But it was kind of like, it threw me off for a minute, but I came back in and said, "Okay, this is cool." So we're going to sit there and bring some people on the line. I'm going to sit, let me get this up here. I'm trying to get, one thing about doing this thing on the phone, my phone gets kind of warm. And then when you get a lot of callers in there, it's the idea of trying to get that switchboard up there. Because you can't get it all on the screen. All right, let's go to this area code. I don't know if they want to get on, but sometimes with this situation, we'll just find out, right? We'll just go for it. Okay. Okay. Sucks.
206? Hi, this is Mark.
Is this 206? Is this 206?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I wasn't too
can
sure.
Can you hear
someone
me okay?
Someone came in. I can hear you. Can you guys hear?
Yep.
Yeah. I can hear.
You say your name is Mark? You say your name is Mark?
Yeah, that's true.
Are you talking to the computer, Mike? I mean, Mark, I'm sorry, Mark.
Yeah, I can try to get it. I'm using an onboard mic. I'll try to get an extra mic if you want to wait a second.
Well, we'll sit there and give Mark, I don't like Mike, give Mark a chance to change mics. I was just going to say to everybody out there who wants to give a call in here, please do so. Give us a call at 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. Plus, since we've got this different kind of format tonight where we're back to two-hour shows, we can also keep recording up to an hour after the show over with. So if you're in the queue, just stay where you're at. We'll get to you and we'll answer your questions for you, okay? So, Mark, you back with us?
Well, I'm still trying to get to Mark. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We'll see what we can do, Mark. Just go ahead and ask us a couple questions, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, I just tuned in. I've listened to your show a few times before. I don't think I've ever called in before. But I've been thinking about my spirit guides a lot. Are you familiar with this? Spiritist religion? It's mostly in Brazil. There's a religion called Spiritism. It's somewhat similar to spiritualism, like in the U.S. and the U.K., except they very strongly believe in reincarnation, and they're based on the writings of a French scientist, actually, named Alan Kardec.
Doesn't ring a bell with me.
Okay.
Okay.
No, but I think I know what he's talking about. I haven't heard of it either, but there seems to be a connection when they're talking about spirituality and that kind of stuff, but there's also a connection. I think they're also connected to, in some ways, it's traced back to Egyptian beliefs. We have the main, what was his name? God, I had this on my top line. Rayan? Which is also traced back, that some people don't realize, but some of those things can be traced back to Orion's belt, which is the idea of origin of where most of the things come from with alien astronauts. But they also believe in past lives, they believe in reincarnation, they believe in a lot of things. And they have a tendency to have a lot of following with their beliefs with some of the people that are actually in this religious format who have actually had encounters not just with themselves of reincarnation, but also people, other people within the sect as well, itself, too. It's like a community. So it's kind of an intense thing. I haven't really done a lot of intense, I have not done a lot of intense research on them per se, but I have touched, you know, a couple of things here and there where they've come up a couple of times, so that's why I know as much as I do. So, Mark, are you associated with this?
Well, I've been, I have some friends in Brazil, and I don't know if they're involved.
Uh-huh.
Actually, Protestant Christianity is becoming pretty popular because I guess, you know, people feel like they can get more more Western or more American with that. But I've
right.
been listening to a lot of radio broadcasts. There's a woman in Baltimore I used to live who seems to be spearheading. She's actually a professor in the school I used to go to, University of Maryland Medical School, Dental School, I'm sorry. And
go ahead.
They say about 10% of people in Brazil actually think they're spiritists. But I was reading in the United Kingdom about there's about 500 spiritualist churches, and more people believe in spiritualism than they do Catholicism, or at least more people attend services for spiritualism in the United Kingdom.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of churches, and there's got actually some here in the United States too. Now, there's some places in the United States I didn't know about, but there's some down. There's, I think there's one in Florida, but there's also a place called Casadega in Florida. They have a spiritualist church, which I've actually
heard
some people talk about.
We have spiritualist churches in Maine.
I'm just saying, it's like they were talking about the one down there where it was kind of like, I was there. I went to Casadega, and Casadega is almost like a, to me, it's like 50-50. You have some spiritual people, but you also have people that have a tendency that. That's what happens when you have that kind of format. You attract other people who want to, I guess, ride on your coattail and that kind of stuff. So I can, you know, I walk into the situation going, okay, that person, no. This person here seems to get it. But the church itself, I just couldn't bring myself to go to the church. And then I heard people talk about these spirits that were hanging out in the ceiling, you know, and didn't make me any more appealing either. So, you know, it was one of those situations, spirituality and that kind of stuff, and I've always sat there and said that, you know, if there's such a thing as Judgment Day is me and me only in front of God in the process of being judged, or as in the situation of what's going to happen, that kind of thing. There are no friends and stuff, and that, you know, there's no support in that kind of situation, it's just you. So, you know, when it comes to churches and that kind of stuff, I go and deal with the situation. If it's something that's really a good way to commune and just... You know, it basically share your beliefs with each other. That's what you do, and you do the whole thing. And I've had a lot of people get on my case, especially my family, when I go to church with them. You know, I have a tendency to tell everybody exactly what I do, and it's one of those things of wanting to share with people, right? And they have a tendency to be a little kind of like, ooh, you don't believe the way we do. And see, that's the thing. I think we should sit there and respect people and say, okay, teach their own. You believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, and have respect for both. Because, you know, there's perception, and everybody's on their own path and their own direction. And I think we should have respect for that. Even the Bible, it says, you shall not judge, because realistically, you have no right to judge because you don't know why they're there. We don't know why that guy's in the gutter. He's there for a reason. He's there to learn something about himself and the course and his own spirituality. So therefore, to judge him and say, well, he shouldn't be down there. Who says so? What right do we have to sit there and tell anybody what kind of path and where they should be at? It's the ideal to teach, give them information, and if you cross paths, to sit there and say, hey, you know, if I can help you out besides the reflection I'm giving you right now, you know, I'm here, we open up, we do what we got to do. And there's a lot of good sects out there. I'm not saying they're not. It's just that in the process of feeling like I need to belong to one of them, I just haven't come to that point. And I really, honestly... don't think I ever will. There are. Have you ever seen some people who have a tendency to stand out on their own, and they just have a tendency to have a certain, they have a certain resonating they do themselves, so they don't need anybody, as in the sense of belonging to something, because some people just know themselves. I mean, this will go back to the beginning. Did Adam have a group he hung out with? Well, there wasn't a lot of people to hang out with, unless you want to hang out with the Tiger Group, but, you know, I'm just saying. Sometimes you got to go back to the source, and you got to look at things and go, okay, it all started from somewhere, and it all started from realistically within yourself. And I do like to sit there from time to time, and I do like going to these groups and meditation groups and that kind of stuff, and because I like, you know, like I said before, it's the ideal. I like being in groups of people, talking and chatting and that kind of stuff, and having a great time. Because I like to hear other people's, I like to hear other people's viewpoints, their focuses, their perceptions. Sometimes I do have a tendency I got to sit back and go, interesting, you know, that kind of thing. So, Mark, was it one of the, was it one of those things that you were actually curious about being a part of this group, or? Well, I guess we'll never know. Anyway, Mark.
I guess.
Well, I think we lost Mark.
I think so.
But I was just curious. He was talking about this group and stuff, and I've heard about him and certain things like that, and the UK and the spiritual churches and that kind of stuff.
Oh, around here we have spiritualist churches in Maine, and there are a couple of spiritualist camps. You're welcome to go there, but if you are not a member of the spiritualist church, you can't do readings in the group like everybody else.
See, that's one thing I don't like about certain groups and certain facets and stuff like that, because they have the certain rules and regulations and stuff, and I think that's the reason I just look at the situation. And rules and regulation is just a way of controlling the situation to bring people around what they believe.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of goes I think that goes against free will.
Nice.
Hey, hold on. I got a freaking dog who's acting nutsy. So go ahead. Tell us more about these churches, Dee.
Well, from what I know, because I met one of the fellow psychic in Maine whose attitude is, you know, he's on the Christian side of life, because they really, you know, pretty much are, from what I can tell. I guess I said something to do with tarot cards or something, and he was just, well, that's pretty much, he just poo-poos different things simply because he thinks they're evil or satanic or something, because I don't know anything about his ex-wife, but I take it she walks from the dark side. But I just find that I don't think it's right that you have to be a member of that church in order to do readings with the group if you're at the spiritualist camp. I think that's just ridiculous. If you've got the gift, you should be able to use it. It shouldn't matter whether or not you're a spiritualist.
That's what I always thought too. You know, you look at the situation and put things out there, and you sit down, you talk to people. Because when you sit and look at the situation on helping people, it happens on an individual basis. You can do things in groups, but even in those groups, we have individual personalities, and people have different problems and different issues and different things they're working with and that kind of stuff. And I've always sat there and said that one thing when I had my shop in Colorado was the idea of sitting down with people, and I felt like a successful reading was a successful reading is putting the information and listening to that person and not on a group basis or using books and that kind of stuff. I feel like I said before, books and everything else are good for blueprints and helping us to get the knowledge and the foundation. But it's the ideal of also listening to our intuition when we do cross people's paths to know exactly, you know, what to do and to listen to the information that comes through. And also, sometimes I tell people when we do readings, some people say, "Well, we're doing a reading. You know, you're talking about all this stuff and all this information, the kind of stuff that comes through. Is that a reading?" I said, "The true form of a reading is the idea of a message, whatever that message is. That message could be a lot of things. But also, my angels and guides are also going to come through me, and they're going to sit there and help people understand situations also the situations I've been through too, as experiences and that kind of stuff to interpret. And it's the idea of being separate." Detached from the whole thing too as well. But we've seen people do this before too in medical fields where they detach themselves from the situation, not to be insensitive or not to care, but to actually be able to be more effective in helping those people. So you see the situation. Right. So let's go. I want to go on to, I'm not sure about this, but we'll go ahead and see what happens, right? I'm going to go on to the next caller. The next caller is area code 901. You're on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you? Well, I guess we'll never know. Anyway, area code 901, you're on the air. How are you? And where are you calling from? Well,
I think they're in the ether somewhere.
Area code 901. Are you there? Okay.
They left the earth plane.
Well, let's take a look at the situation and go, okay, let's change it around a little bit. And we'll put them back on hold. Then we'll go into another caller. We're going to go into, I don't know, this is Banna Bode High.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, should I be quiet?
How are you?
Should I be silent like everyone else?
No, please do not.
Speak.
Should I use my voice?
Do
yeah,
what?
Why not?
I said, should I use my voice? God gave it to me.
Well,
yeah,
I would hope so. Well, if I could not mind readers.
Good evening.
Hi. Know, that's kind of a contradicting question, don't you think? That's a contradicting statement, don't you think? In some sense, the word, we are mind readers. We are mind readers. She goes, you know, I should say, sometimes, you know, at first I said, I'm not a mind reader. I'm saying, well, I am, but I get paid for that. So.
I haven't gotten paid for it lately, damn.
So.
What's your name, sweetie?
My name is Anna.
Anna, and where are you calling from, Anna?
Manhattan.
Ah.
Okay, Manhattan. Okay, say hello to Dee and April.
Hello, Dee and April.
Hi.
Hey, Anna.
Hi. Nice
to
meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
I was feeling a little bit sad today, and not exactly sure why. Went to the community church where I do volunteer sessions with children. But I don't want to volunteer anymore. I want to kind of like make some money out of it. And this place is also trying to rent out some spaces. And maybe I have someone for these people, you know. So I'm telling my friend, who's a big part of the community, I'm telling her, you know, if I provide, you know, someone that's interested in renting the place in the church, and, you know, am I going to get some money for it? And she's like, she's kind of my best, she's like really close, you know, she knows me. And she was just kind of like laughing at my face, like, how could I ask for that, you know? And it just was so hurtful that it kind of threw me off. Like, it was already difficult to ask for what I needed, you know, some kind of validation that I brought people in and who might be interested in renting it. But then she's like, ha, ha, ha. But, you know, they're paying the brokers. Is going to get paid for whomever they bring in, you know? So I just felt a little bit not treated right. And then I'm giving these free children's therapy group and I feel like they're benefiting. And I just, I'm not moving forward in my life. I feel like, how is all of this benefiting me, you know, if I'm not even... if I'm not even supporting my own life, you know, like, I don't know. I feel a little bit successful, but unsuccessful. And, unhappy, especially today after this whole interaction with my girlfriend. And then before that, she said, oh, I can't stay after church and talk to you more and blah, blah, blah. And then she shows up after church anyway, and then, oh, I thought you were going to be upset, you know, as if she likes to upset me. It's like, what do you, it was kind of like, then we're walking together, and I find out that she was going to go to a birthday party after, you know. I just felt like weird and separate from her because she was making kind of fun of me. Like, how could I even ask for something if I found people for them? So now I feel like I don't even want to share their information that I know to help them get people. I just feel like I'm not making my own life, you know, I picked a profession that's not really, I don't know, it's good for volunteer work, and I'm unclear about where I'm supposed to, yeah, not unclear.
I think it's
about,
good.
No, I'm not really unclear about it. This is what I want to do, but I want to frame it a little differently so that my needs are met as well, and that not just, I feel like, oh, nice, they're getting all the benefits from my work, you know, a bigger community. I'm attracting a lot of parents and children now, you know, I'm getting experience and exposure maybe, but I'm not getting any supervision, and there's a lot of weird things going on in that group. A lot of children are expressing their inner world, and I need supervision around it because one boy was 4 years old, cutting paper the whole time with different scissors, cutting, and then talking about the astronaut is looking for his sister, and he doesn't have a sister in his real life. And then he's cutting up another piece of paper, and he's saying, this is nothing. And then he makes a scribble drawing. He's 4 years old. He's only, like, crossing and saying that this is firework. If I don't have supervision, I don't know what all this means.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's good for me to continue these groups without supervision.
I understand. When you look at the situation, it is one of those things. It's kind of hard of a situation for a lot of people who've been taught that in the spiritual lifestyle or being spiritual or religious, and I think it's like there's a catch-22 there, but when you look at the situation, there is a lot of things going on, and it's the truth. You know, when churches work with construction companies and they're doing and building extensions and that kind of stuff, the reason they raise so much money because they got to pay for those. And the idea of people doing their jobs and actually being in a position like you said you did and those kind of things, there's nothing wrong with asking for compensation in what you're doing. And also the situation of actually sitting down and looking at people and saying, okay, this is what I need to actually do my job. And the idea of what I'm trying to do with these kids and those kind of things. And if you reach a wall with people where they just don't want to understand or they keep putting you off, then you need to do what you need to do in those situations, which is, like you said before, you have to consider, and this might sound crazy to some people, but it does say in the Bible that your body is a temple, so therefore you have to consider that in the situation that the church is considering their self and their temple, so therefore you have to do the same thing as yourself. So when you look at the situation and go, okay, some people might look at it as being selfish and say, okay, in some sense of the word, it can be, because there are certain things that you do have, and there are certain needs that you need to meet for your own personal life, because we know for a fact if you're not good for yourself, you're not good for anybody else either. So therefore, there are certain needs you need to take care of as well. And the ideal is just the idea of asking for these things. You have certain people around you. It seems to me that the reason they're acting the way they are, of making you feel guilty about those things, because they don't want to give up anything. They want people to do this for themselves, for them, and the idea of what they're trying to take in. So therefore, the more that they can actually contribute to the church in itself, and the less they have to give back, then they feel like they've accomplished something. But actually, if you look at the situation, I've seen a lot of churches who actually have prospered and are huge, who actually compensate accordingly. And when people are like in your position, there's always a person sitting there going, you know, how can we help you? They notice certain things. There's always people overlooking all kinds of
stuff. Yeah, there is a woman, she's like going out of her way to help me out, buying art supplies from her own pocket. Like, she is amazing, and that's the mother of the daughter that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know, she doesn't even understand thank you. Like, she's very supportive. She's like, she's proud of the work that I'm doing. You know, she's calling herself the facilitator. Like, she's extending her left arm to make this happen, and which I'm very appreciative of, and I'm feel that support. But for some reason, something is not working for me. You know, something went really bad, and I started to go into a bad old habit that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened, but I started to do something abusive to myself, and that was hurtful. And because of the way she was looking at me in my face and laughing and making fun of my idea of, you know, wanting maybe some money for the people that I'm bringing in to rent their office, their space, you know, that brings like $4,000 or $5,000 a month if that goes through. You know, why not say, Anna, thank you, here is this for you.
Mm-hmm. You're right, there's nothing wrong with the whole thing. But I'm just saying, if you're getting yourself into a situation where, you know, you're revisiting old habits and old things that you've done before, you should consider the situation. I mean, if you can't make it work in that environment, and it's something about the whole thing, and it brings out the bad side of you, then you need to consider that too as well. And sit there and look at the situation of taking yourself somewhere else where you feel like you are not just contributing, but also appreciation for what you're doing. And it's the ideal. Money is just one of those things that people have a tendency to put too much emphasis on as in being bad, not realizing the process of
feeling
like it's bad. Right. And when you sit there and look at the situation, it's just an exchange. And actually, money is actually a spiritual concept. It's giving and receiving. And it's just
an exchange
that we use that to
it's
be there for.
It's an exchange.
Yes.
You know,
right.
He's her one of the mother's sons. I mean, they really appreciate the program. One time she was waiting like almost 30 minutes because the trains were delayed, and she waited 30 minutes for her son to be in the art class, and they keep coming, and there's something off about these people too. And she said, I'm willing to pay $200 for 8 weeks. It has to be an hour long, and otherwise I can also take them to the other class that's, you know, 100 and something a month, and blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not providing an art class here, you know, I'm going deeper into things, and then I'm saying, like, okay, so how did you notice any changes with your son? You know, they're so committed in coming, did you notice any changes? And she's like, nothing. I'm like, I'm like, how can you not notice any little change in your son? He's looking forward to coming here. He has no creative imagination. It's very limited, and that's what we're doing. We're expanding his creativity so he has more tools in his mind to start imagining things, you know, at age 4. And he's very limited.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's not stimulated by his outer world, and he's lacking certain things that, you know, I might be able to give him. And I feel like, yeah, that needs to be appreciated, and I need to have a supervisor to understand what I'm feeling and not to have to do this alone.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, with the situation, is that, I mean, if you've already sit there and declared all these things to somebody who can actually make a difference in the whole thing, and you're still not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting there talking, so you're doing these classes, and they're actually charging people for these classes, right?
No, they're not charging people for these classes.
Okay, you saw about these people that were talking about paying this amount of money for
certain
things.
Yeah, yeah. The mother was saying there's an art class that his son can go to, which is $100-something a month.
Okay, so what you're saying is from hearing this input that you got, that you feel like the services that you're providing is on the same level, so therefore since you're doing it, you should be also be compensated accordingly because of these prices that you've been hearing everybody else is willing to pay.
Yeah.
Because of these other classes, so you're thinking, okay, why not? And I'm just saying, the idea. It's like looking at the situation and saying, okay, we started doing these art classes on a different level. Now they've expanded to the point where they're actually bringing people in.
Yeah.
The idea of asking for compensation because now you've gone and you've exceeded what the first plan was, which was
yeah.
give your services. Now it's expanded from that. The parameters have changed.
Yeah.
So if someone's not willing to look at that whole thing and say, okay, you're right, things have changed. Now people are coming and they're doing this whole thing and it's benefiting everything accordingly. Of course, you should be asking. But I'm just saying to me, I'm just saying, look at the situation and go, okay, state your case, talk to the people, get everything out in the open, tell them exactly what you do want. Don't be scared to ask for what you want. Don't look at these other people any other way of what kind of reactions they give you, okay?
Yeah.
When you sit there and do that, your inner voice is feeding into the whole thing and say, okay, these people are being mean to me. No, they're not being mean to you. They're just being who they are. And that's the point of asking yourself right then and there and say, okay, these guys are not being mean to me, but this is who they are, and this is what they're projecting to me. So maybe I should take my services somewhere else where, therefore,
yeah.
I can be compensated accordingly. Or maybe we should take it even one step further, because I was thinking, you know, when we look at situations like this, you know, people who give their information as in, what do they call those, consultants get paid.
Yeah.
And it seems like from what you're doing and the situation was actually, you know, putting two and two together so they could actually have this property and stuff and those other things. It's like being a consultant. So a consultant is basically compensating.
Yeah.
Just because there wasn't anything up front at first doesn't mean someone should take advantage of that whole thing.
Yeah.
And you never said anything. Well, now we are. And we're sitting there going, when we first started this whole thing, I don't think anybody ever saw how it would expand. And now it needs to be reexamined again.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that they're providing, you know, a lot also, like space and people, you know, advertisement and stuff. Like, that's what they're doing as well. But I'm expanding their community. I'm bringing life into their community. And I want to support their community. It's not like I even want money for me. I want money for supervision so that I can provide even better support for the kids,
yeah.
You know, provide support,
you know,
for myself, because it's confidential information. I'm not going to like share it with the community what the issues are in the room. Stuff like
that. Well, actually, you could. You know? There's no agreement. According, you can tell everybody you want to. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying with the situation, what's going on.
No, I mean, in the end, this is not my, you know, it's not my job to work there or make it happen. My goal is to find a full-time job. You know, that's my initial goal, you know, probably because I don't have that right now, or, you know, I'm just saying with
the situation you got going on, I would take it one step further. Instead of going out looking for a job, I would create something of my own by what you've already accomplished here and just take it to a different format on a private note.
Yeah, private groups.
Exactly. Do private groups and that kind of stuff with the kind of work you're doing right now. I think because you already have people telling you. I mean, you got signs all around you. I mean, the ladies here saying they're willing to pay this kind of money for these other places. So all you got to do is, you know, either match it or underbid it. And they'll come to you. So therefore, I don't care what anybody, there's a couple of people there that said they don't see any differences. But a lot of people don't see differences because of the kind of environment they've given for the kids, because they're not really, the parent is not really a part of the environment. They're too busy out there thinking they got to make all that freaking money. So therefore, that's what
yeah.
they focus on all the time. So they're not in the kids' environment. That's why they don't have structure. They basically expect everybody else to do that. And you sit there and look at the situation you're in, it's actually what they're expecting you to do anyway, too, as well. So when you sit and look at the situation, what you're actually providing, you know, people can come back and go, you know, I've done this before with some of the psychic companies I've worked for, and they're going, you know, we supply advertising. We have supplied the lines and information. I said, I don't give a hoot. That's not my big concern. I don't care. That's not mine. You made a decision to do that. What I'm saying is I want to be compensated accordingly for my part of
yeah.
what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I give readings, I give the information, I do the whole thing. I got to sit there and deal with people who commit suicide on the line when I'm talking to them. They don't. And in the advertising and the machinery and all that kind of good stuff, I like to do that part because it
yeah.
seems a whole lot more simple.
Yeah, well, there's no kid coming in the classroom without paying for it. You know, I don't care if it's
and they're getting paid for it, too. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. They're getting paid for it. I don't, you know, they're getting paid for it. That's the thing that bugs me the most. They're getting paid for it, so why shouldn't you?
Bingo.
Yeah, exactly. Why shouldn't I?
Volunteer
I don't understand
work.
How I even got myself into this volunteering situations the whole time. Like,
I'm just saying, sweetie, you use volunteer work, too. I've seen volunteer work where they have the soup lines and that kind of stuff. Volunteer work, they have all volunteers doing the whole work. The food is also donated. And no one's paying anybody to do anything. It's all donations and it's all within confines. So that's why the people who are coming in and donating their time are not getting paid either because nobody is. It's a totally charitable situation. But in your situation, it's not a charitable situation.
No, it's study.
Yeah, some people look at the church and go, well, that's a charitable thing. No, it's not.
Exactly. That's what my girlfriend said. This is a church. It's a charitable thing. You can't expect, you know, to get paid, blah, blah,
no,
blah.
No, you can't because they're expecting it. They're already taking money for that, for their services, you know. And I don't care what anybody says. People are getting paid. And the one situation is, like I said before, there are people who are not getting paid who haven't said anything, and they're not going to say anything either until those people say something. So your friend's sitting there saying the same thing, but, you know, she's on the wrong format. And like what I was trying to say earlier was you don't have to sit there and basically
– no.
I don't know how you put it. You don't have to sit there and convince us of anything. You don't have to sit there and convince anybody of anything. You're in the right. All you need to do is step back and stop justifying it and telling people – this is what I'm entitled to because, I mean, just the idea of hearing these people are getting paid for these children being there. If you have to put yourself in a situation, you should be paid for your services as well.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting paid for services, what I'm saying to you is if they still want to be persistent about the whole thing and they want to hang on the charitable thing, then why not be charitable to you and give you what you deserve?
Yeah.
And if they don't give you what you deserve, then it's the ideal of making a conscious decision. Like I said before, walk away and start a private enterprise of your own. Because I just feel like if you did, all you need is a little structure, maybe a partner or two, and you could pull this off yourself and have your own facility and your own services and actually be a little more into the whole thing. Because it seems like in some ways you're holding back because you're not being compensated accordingly. And I feel like if you was in a situation where you felt like you're in full control of the whole situation and you was being compensated for it, you would be twice as good for these kids because
yes.
of your limitations.
That's true. I'm not going to give my whole self if it's for free and they're benefiting. Everybody's benefiting except for me. No, I'm not going to do that anymore and I'm not going to continue volunteering and I'm not going to go on with this. And if the mother wants to come next week, I'm expecting her to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not expecting, but it's a $35, you know, $35. It should be $35 for this class.
Mm-hmm.
Per kid.
I hear you. I'm just saying, state your case. Do what you got
to
do.
I don't have
you don't
to
get what you
do
want.
This class. You know, I don't have to do it.
You don't.
No, you don't.
And I'm just saying, you don't. And, I was going to say was we don't like to push people down the road, but we do have some other callers on the line. And
yeah.
If there was something else that you'd like to ask about, you're more welcome to ask one more question before you go. And
thank you so much. I appreciate that. Now, my last question would be, do you see me finding full-time job that is willing to sponsor me? The last job hired me, but I haven't heard back from them, and I'm just still waiting kind of if they're willing to sponsor me, which is the next thing. Like, do you see me finding that job, or should I just move to my home country?
Where's your home country?
In Europe.
Whereabouts?
I'm
just I mean, if you don't want to tell us, that's fine. I was just curious.
I get the impression it's Eastern Europe, but you don't have to tell us where it is.
Sorry, you said you get the impression what?
That your country is in Eastern Europe?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What would that mean? Eastern Europe, exactly.
Well, I'm thinking things like Hungary and those places. I mean, it was just her accent. I don't know why I thought that, but...
I don't know. I get the impression when I say... You're what?
I said I have different accents.
That's okay.
You have many accents. She's actually, I get the influence of at least four different cultures.
Yes, definitely. I have mixed culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. I think that actually what I'm picking up here is the idea that you feel really pulled to go home, back. And that's why I keep getting that you should follow through with what you feel like you feel comfortable. And right now it just seems like in some way, you're in the States right now, right? Correct?
Yes.
Yeah, because I was looking at your, no, you don't have an area code. She's on Skype. Okay.
She was in Manhattan.
Yes.
Manhattan, that's right. She said she was in Manhattan. Okay, no problem. I'm just saying with the situation, it just seems like you feel like a fish out of water. And people look at you like you don't know. And that's pretty sad with the idea of people trying to just assume they know more than you do because they're American. And it's kind of amazing some of the prejudice that we still have on a smaller scale. But I was sitting there looking at the situation of going home. That's the thing that keeps coming to me is you need to... Sometimes you need to go home. It's just the idea that you want to go home, and you should follow through with that. The idea of finding the job that you're looking for sponsorship, I get the impression if you made a choice to stay here, you would find it, but there will still be some uncomfortableness with it. And I think it's because of this pullingness that wants to go back to point. And I keep getting that, what was that one country? Oh, shoot. What's the name of it? God, I can see the name, too. I just can't say it.
England, France.
Well, I got England and France, but I was saying, what's the other one? It's like another, it's got a P, I think. No.
P?
I'm thinking here. No. Well, yeah, Poland.
Poland? No, that's not for me.
I'm not saying go to Poland. I'm saying when I was sitting there picking up on Poland, like there's some, you know, we have the four, but I feel like there's like you've seen some people who have a lot of different cultures in their things. There's a major one, but there's still other ones that pop in from time to time that they're not aware of. But it's a small part of you. And I'm just saying, maybe it wasn't that one. Maybe it wasn't Poland.
Holland.
Maybe it was. Anyway, we got UK. We got France.
France.
Holland.
Got Spanish.
Germany.
I was right. I thought Germany.
And then there's some Spanish in there somewhere, too, like from Spain.
Yeah.
Not much.
I want to
say
Barcelona. I don't know why.
Proud of Holland. Are you more proud of Holland than anything else?
Holland is my birth country.
Okay. Well, there you go. I would like my birth country more than anything else. So I just got Holland was the big thing for her, man. She's just her favorite place to be. I was also getting chocolate. I don't know, maybe it's the thing about chocolates in Holland and, you know, Switzerland and all this kind of stuff, but I was definitely getting not just the idea of the hint of chocolate, but I could also smell it, like a very small...
Switzerland sounds good.
Yes, and it was just a richness about the chocolate, so that's what it took me to Switzerland and to Holland, right in those areas there, so hey, I can smell that chocolate, and believe me,
the
chocolate.
Yeah,
I think if I find a nice apartment and get rid of this chocolate, in Holland, maybe it'll be easier to move.
Well, I get the impression that once you make the choice to do what you got to do and follow through with it, that everything else is pretty much easily falls into place. So it's just one of those things. Make a decision to do what you got to do. Follow through with who you are. And I can't. Sorry, I was actually looking for my freaking cards. My cards were actually, this card actually says that. You need to follow through. You need to do what you feel like you need to do. And no matter what anybody else says, it's the courageous card. The courageous card is always the one I like the most because it's basically saying, once you make a decision on what you're going to do, be courageous and follow through with it because the angels and the guidance that you have around you is excuse me, it's about the other, it's one of those things that says your prayers have been heard. They've been answered. You just got to have faith and follow through with it. So it's almost like you already know what you want to do. You just need to follow through with it. And I, you know, it's like, it's almost like you like it here, but there's something, like I said before, I keep saying it pulls you back to that one place. And you need to, I just feel like you need to go there to really feel like you're, you know, to, I don't want to say the words, to feel whole again, but it's just the ideal. It has been proven that where you live, where you at, does have a lot of way in what happens in your life.
Yes. That's
you,
true.
You don't really feel appreciated right now. You don't feel validated.
Well, I feel, yeah, like the other day I went to...
You feel used.
No, I don't feel used. No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't. It's just, no. This, it's just this one little thing that I organized at the church where my girlfriend, her behavior kind of was hurtful because it felt separate, you know, instead of like trying to understand where I was coming from. And
well, we've had that before, too. We've had people, such a, I had a lady on the show the other night, a couple weeks ago, where she was come on the show and I was sort of talking about, you know, talking about the idea of receiving. And she said, well, that's not really spiritual, is it? I'm like, I'm sorry, but receiving and giving and giving and receiving, they're equally important. Or
I'm
that's,
very supportive
always...
of my girlfriend. Like, when she got hired for a job, I was celebrating it with her. I was, like, happy and excited. I don't get the same thing from her. Like, she's just not that type of person, and that's the way she is. But this was, like, a next level of painful experience, which I just didn't need in my life, you know? I don't need her to make fun of me or make fun of my ideas and feel... That felt disrespectful. That's all I'm saying. It felt disrespectful. She was totally not understanding me, and that was hurtful.
I hear you.
That's
I'm just saying, when I would sit here and say being used, I would sit here and look at the situation for what it is, because it seems like when you look at it... And you look at how it's designed, and if anybody getting paid, I mean, if paying classes, I mean, to me, it just looks like the situation is like, as long as you don't say nothing, that you want anything back in return, it doesn't seem like anybody is going to say anything else either. Now, the one thing I do get with this whole situation is let it go. Now, we already have this, we already have the diameters of the whole thing, and we have a friend here. But it's also look at the situation. Of course, you understand where she comes from, and you understand who she is. But there are sort of certain aspects of her personality that's coming out more than ever. So
yes.
You got to look at the situation of asking yourself and say, okay, just because we have the title friend on it doesn't mean we have to continue to associate. And sometimes people don't understand this. You can still love and be an unconditionally loving, caring, spiritual person and still make a choice not to associate with somebody who has a tendency to disrupt your decoration to be happy.
Yes.
And that's okay.
No.
So look at the situation, because I sit here and look at it like this. People talk about the Bible quite a bit. And I'm sitting here going, well, if you look in the Bible, you know, to be prosperous and to be abundant and prosperous, it also starts with being happy with yourself. So the idea of being happy is okay. Because it seems off a chain reaction, like we said before. When you're happy and things are going good, it seems everybody around you has a tendency to follow suit, okay? But
yeah.
When things are not going, it's like, look at yourself. You're feeling chaotic within yourself, and
yeah.
This chaos is starting to manifest itself around you. So it's the ideal of sitting there going, we need to get back to ourselves again, and we need to sit there and focus and say, okay, not in a selfish way, but a person here is starting to notice certain things that are going on around her that everybody else seems to be being compensated for their services. And
yeah.
Then she starts noticing that she's giving a service, but she doesn't get anything for that service. So therefore, it's okay. What I'm saying is, we already know what the problem is. Just start focusing on the solution, and it's the idea. Take a step forward and go in where you need to go. Talk to who you got to talk to, and start making demands in a nice, constructive, nice way. Of course, but I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong to ask for what you want. And then do that. If you don't get what you want, and especially with a friend too, there's nothing wrong with sitting down with your friend and say, you know something, I didn't like the way you treated me the other day and some of the things you said. Because I feel like when a person gives a service, they get compensated for that service. And when someone needs, the Bible talks about those needs being fulfilled, well, mine are not. So therefore, there's a breakdown in the system, and there's also a breakdown in communication between us, because it seems like with you, there's something that it seems like you need to express as well. Like maybe there's something you don't like about me, or maybe there's something I've said to you. It needs to be brought out in the open. And it's one of those things that's a good place to start. So do those kind of things, and definitely get back with us and tell us how it goes. I'd love to hear.
I just get the, excuse me.
Go ahead.
I guess I get the impression that the interaction between the two friends, it's the other person is the one that always likes to be uplifted. She wants you to be happy for her, but when it's your turn, she can't reciprocate. She can't rejoice in your accomplishments, your achievements, your joy, but she wants you to be happy for what comes her way.
Yeah. It's like she likes it when that's what it is. It has to be about her, but when it's about me, it's like, how could you ask for anything? This is the church, and how can you want anything? This is everybody's working for free here. Bullshit like that, you know. It has nothing to do with me. There's no support from she's incapable of being a friend. And I think that now that I know that, I know what I can do with her and what I can't do. I don't have to eliminate her completely. Talking about this is not going to help me either. I just have to kind of say, yeah, this is her, and you know, it makes me sad. Maybe I can write her that it made me sad, her reaction. It felt disrespectful and separate. I felt separated from her and not understood.
That's okay. I'm just saying, you proceed to follow through what you need to feel that you need to do, but you need to do those things too as well. But we have to get on to our next caller. But
all right, I'll keep
listening. Actually, we're kicking down here too. No problem. I appreciate your call. I'm just saying you need to take it to the next step and just do the physical part, okay?
Yeah, thank you so much for listening to me. It was so important that I just got some human contact today. It was really important. Thank
okay.
you.
Take care
well, you're
of
welcome.
Yourself.
You have a great day. Great
thank
night.
You.
And you definitely get back with us too, okay?
I am, yes, I will. Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
I'm trying to think about. Okay. Well, on that note, I also want to say something too. She was talking about sponsorship, and we have a sponsor for our show right now. So our sponsor is Richard, I want to say Berlanga. He has a website called DivineBodyWork.com. I'm sorry, that's actually DivineBodyWash.com. And he says he's donating. He's actually a sponsor of ours, and he's actually saying that for each person, each listener who actually donates $25, he will give you a bottle of body wash. It's actually all natural ingredients. And for people who give $35 or more, he will also throw in body mist. And it's one of those situations. We had Richard on the show last night, was giving us about the ingredients and how it actually stimulates the body in a spiritual way and that kind of stuff, and they're all natural ingredients. And it seems like it's a really great product, and he's been doing this for a while. And he said actually Spirit moved him to even go and start doing this and doing these products. And he actually, what he does is, for people who say they make a donations, you give us your name and that kind of stuff, and we'll definitely get back with you. And what he does is he actually takes the body wash and actually, I think he says he creates it according to your specifications. So
yes,
definitely
he did.
Do that. Like, yes, he did. So therefore, the website is called DivineBodyWash.com. It's Richard Berlanga, and he said for people who donate $25, he will give you a bottle of body wash, and for people who donate $35 or more, he will also throw in the body mist. So go to DivineBodyWash.com and check it out. I'm sure that you'll definitely get the insights of the whole thing. It's a really good product, okay?
He makes
on
it
that
right.
Note,
I guess each person gets their body wash made right when they order. It's not all pre-made. It's made to your specification.
Exactly.
Which is a great
as we always say, right. And then we're actually down. I want to thank everybody for actually listening, and thank you for all the people who called in and all the people that are in the queue right now. Just stay right where you're at. We're going to get right back to you. We're going to start keep answering your questions. No problem. I just want to thank everybody. Everybody's going on. We've got like 60 seconds left in the live show, but we're going to keep recording this, and we're going to keep answering your questions, so stay right where you're at. But thank you, and everybody out there, thank you. Thank you for all the callers. Thank you for everybody who listens. Thank you all for all the donations, the people donation. Thanks, Richard, for actually sponsorship and contributing to the show as well. And if you want to get a private reading with us, give us a call at 740-500-8863 or go to the website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love where love is given. Now let's get back to our callers and let's go to where are we? Let's go to, here's one. Okay, there's one. Let's go to area code 61. Go to area code 610. Welcome to the show and how are you? And say hello to Dee and April. I guess we're on the mental thing again, huh? Telepathic.
No.
Is area code 610 there? 610.
Another one left the earth plane.
How we tap into the earth plane?
No,
okay.
All I can think of is that song, and another one bites the dust from Queen.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Let's go on to our next
one. The Weird Al version, another one rides the bus.
All right, here's another one. We'll go to area code 910. Welcome to the show. How are you? Welcome. Say hello to Dee and April, and how you doing?
Namaste. Hi, guys. How are you this evening?
Hi, namaste to you, too.
Hi.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is John.
John, how are you doing?
I've been better, honestly.
Okay,
oh, okay,
so how can we help that tonight, John, so we can actually walk away from the show going, I feel great.
That's my intention.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do our best.
I'm really calling for any sort of message that I can get my hands on at the moment. Anything you guys are picking up around
message.
Will be yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first message I get with you is the idea of playfulness. Playfulness, you know, recapture a lot of things in your life and that kind of stuff, is to drop back a little bit, a couple of two or three steps and say, okay, you know, things are not so bad, really. And it's just playfulness, you know, the idea of finding the solution has a tendency to actually looking at each situation and find the humor in it, too, as well. They also, one thing I was sitting there looking at, too, is the idea of calling in your soulmate. Is there something about the situation of a relationship and that kind of thing that you're kind of longing for right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a strong...
I wondered about that in the beginning, if there wasn't something to do with love.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was getting the idea, was just like you're looking for really... You're not just looking, it's almost like you've made a decision within yourself. It says, I'm looking for not just the relationship as in something to hold me by, but I actually wanted to find that one so I could actually have a difference in this year. It seems like you've made some really declarations this year that you want to change some things. The angels are saying you should keep your mind open, that your soulmate may differ from your usual type and expectations. But, you know, you're actually looking for something that's going to be good for you and good with you. Or I should say someone, sorry. But it's one of those things of looking at the situation and saying, you know something, you know, sometimes with situations, I get the impression your friends are not your best source to go to actually help you in this situation. But I definitely got calling in your soulmate, but they're saying that you need to focus. I'm not saying, I do feel like in the process of focusing on that significant other that you're going to acquire some other friends. And they're saying you should definitely let your friends help in this situation of these people coming in. But there seems like there are some people around you right now that can be more negative and work against you. And they're saying,
oh,
you
yeah.
should look at the ideal. Yeah, I keep getting focus and prayers and affirmations and visualizations. Anything you can sit there and get your hands on to help you clarify exactly what you want, but also clarify who you are too as well. So it's true love. True love is the ideal of finding true love, but also finding your true self. And your true self is the ideal of not letting this outside world beat down on you because you're actually allowing that to happen. And I'm not trying to do that in a disrespectful way or saying that meanly. I'm just saying that sometimes we do have
no.
a tendency to give in sometimes and go, what, go ahead.
No, you're totally on it. I feel beat up. I feel brutally
okay.
beat up.
Right. So I'm just saying with the situation, I don't want to contribute to the beating up. I just want to find a place to start and divert this and turn it around and say, okay, so playfulness, being playful. Just have a great time. You know, like I tell people, like, this moment, right this moment, if, you know, because some people want to think about bills and that kind of stuff, just before they go to bed, I'm going to go, why? You know, do you have to pay your bill right now? No? Oh, okay. Then go to bed. If you, you know, it's like, do you have to pay your bill? No? Then go play baseball. You know, do some things. Just go out and live your life. And because, you know something? I guarantee in the process of following through and living your life, you start finding the solutions and these other things start going away. I used to tell myself all the time, instead of focusing on anything, I told my friend, we had a show last year, and my friend Amy was on it, and we were sitting there talking about bills and stuff, and we don't want things around us to keep reminding of us a debt. And I said, what I do is, when I get bills in the mail, I just throw them in the mail. I just throw them in the trash. All of a sudden, Amy started laughing, and I said, what are you laughing for? She goes, I do the same thing. You just, because you don't need that reminder. You know you have those things. So therefore, what you need to focus, you need to focus on the solution. And sometimes when you have those things there, they just do nothing but contribute. Do you know I actually got a call from somebody about a bill from 11 years ago, this not too long ago?
Wow.
And I'm sitting there going, you know, I said, okay. They were talking about the whole thing and stuff. I'm sitting there going, you know something? I'm not going to pay this. You know, I said, I think someone had gotten a hold of something here, and you know, it's like, I'm not going to do it. And I have a tough time with the library right now, because the library says I lost a CD collection when I knew for a fact I actually returned it. So every time I go down there, I believe in paying debts, okay? I believe in paying people back. But I also feel like there's some people in society, especially right now, who are using the justification it's okay to rip people off because the economy sucks. And I'm sitting here going, wow, using that leverage to rip people off when you know for a fact the economy has nothing to do with it. I mean, just think about it. What is the economy? It's people. And when people think negative, the economy goes south. When people think positive and they're focusing in that direction, everything in this country seems to get better, don't it? And if you really go across this country right now, you're going to see a lot of prospering people. That's because they don't feed into the world. And that's what it says. We live here, but we don't have to be of it, you know, because if we're of it, you know, you're going to get caught up in those fads and stuff, and people are going to go, you're dressed out of whack. No, I'm dressed. I said I could walk around naked. So it's one of those things I made a choice. You know, people are like, that's a nice shirt. What are you wearing that shirt for? I said, because it fits. You know, I'm not trying to get into this freaking craziness and certain things. Do I like wearing nice clothes? Of course I do. Do I have the tendency to go with what's going on? More than likely. Unless I go to one of those novelty shops and buy some crazy stuff from David Cassidy and the Partridge Family and things like that. But, you know, when you sit there and look
at
it, that's the point. You're welcome. You know, you sit there and look
at
the situation.
I'm joking.
Like,
my mother was a partridge.
Right. I'm just saying with the situation in hand, when we sit there and look at the situation, right, and when everything goes over and everything kind of sits there and falls into place, I always look at the humor of things. Like, for example, I fell on some ice, and I started laughing, and people go, what's so funny? I said, I can just imagine what you saw. You know, I saw my feet before I hit the ground. That's funny. You know, and I noticed that also in the process of laughing, yes, I got bruised, but I seemed to heal a whole lot faster, too, because I didn't feed into it. So you know, there's a whole lot more to this whole thing when it says true love, just truly loving life, because when you truly love life, life loves you back. Because if you look at people right now who said life sucks, life pretty much beats the hell out of them. So if you're in that situation, the easiest way to divert it is, yeah, I feel I'm sitting there doing that. And you know, I can tell people all the time, I said, you don't have to go out tomorrow and find something funny with everything. But it's just the idea of paying attention and going, okay. You know, if something strikes you as funny, because, for example, I'll give you something like this. We have a tendency to get caught up in limitations, okay? My daughter, when she was 5 years old, we walk into this dress shop. One side of the wall was nothing but these little square mirrors. So she's a five-year-old kid. She thinks there's another room on the other side of those mirrors. She thought there was little portals, right? Before I could stop her, she took off running into the next room she thought was there. Whack!
Oh.
You know, she smacks.
Ouch.
She smacks the whole freaking thing. And as I'm walking over to her, and you know, I'm actually a mix of emotions. I'm crying and I'm laughing. You know, because I know it hurt.
Right.
But at the same time, if you would have saw her little butt tuck herself in like a little football player, because she thought these little cordial things, She thought they were like, you had to duck under them to get into them. And she, she smacked off the whole thing. But see, the point was, those emotions were happening. So there's nothing wrong with honoring them and looking at them and go, okay, it was funny. And of course, I also acknowledge the ideal that it hurt. But, you know, we've all done those things ourselves, too. Walked into a glass wall. Or somebody shut the freaking sliding glass door. We didn't know about it. And they don't put no butterflies on the damn thing. And you walk right into it. What makes life easy is when you look at those situations and realize, I made a conscious choice to walk through there. Boom. And it helps you understand that with conscious choices that you make, with intent, you know, things happen. So it's just the idea of going, okay, today we're not going to walk in any more sliding glass doors and stuff like that. Or we're going to pay attention to that little twinge inside of our stomach. It says, I wouldn't do this. And when we have crazy dreams, we're going to sit there and look at the dreams and realize it's just a crazy way of getting a message to us. And putting all these things in, and putting all these things into in our little, I don't know, it's just looking at them and going, hey, that I made a decision. Because I was like, I told that one lady who was sitting there talking about, I said, you know, realize one thing, you're right. Those things are your fault. But all the good things you did, those are your fault too. So it's just the ideal of realizing that they were just choices. Like I've always said, good luck, bad luck? No, it's good choices, bad choices. You know, because we all have those feelings within ourselves. And when they fall into place and stuff, when we follow through with them, life always gets better. So we know it works. It's just that we have a tendency to talk ourselves out of it and think we have a better way of going about it. Which I guess we're saying listening to our egos too much. When we should be listening to the guidance and actually co-creating and
co-decisioning.
Yeah, co-mingling. Right. You know, like look at the perspective of God and everything else like that. Because even when you have those crazy things, those bad things that happen in your life, you know, like we've always said before, the existence of God can be proven in everything we do. Because there's always a solution. There's always an alternative. So with that kind of situation, what are you going to do? Keep an open mind. And say, okay, because I think the biggest thing, problem with some things, we got bills. Bills is the biggest thing because we don't realize that sometimes people just pack up and leave. So the ideal in our minds that we have to do those things is just a really strong sense of responsibility within ourselves. But I think we should also look at those situations too, the way they played out. Because we know for a fact, like I said before, in this world, as the way things are happening right now, there are certain people who are doing certain things, like with phone bills and stuff like that. I mean, if you ever seen a phone bill, when you walk on the whole thing, you get charged $150 a month. But then you start looking at all the surcharges, you start thinking about those things and going, but are these things really true, or is it just one company's way of trying to get as much money they can out of you? Because I'll give you an example. I saw Sprint charging me $150 a month, and I have unlimited everything, except I can't call landlines, so they give me an additional minute, okay? But if I go and get Straight Talk for $45 a month gives me unlimited everything. Even I can call information for free. Now, how come this one company can do that, but Sprint can't? Makes you wonder, and you start thinking about things again, and you start examining and going, you know something? If that's the case, then making a decision to walk away from one in favor of the other is just, I think, God and your angels and guidance's way of pointing out things to make it easier for you in your life to realize that somebody's ripping you off. On the other hand, somebody's actually looking out and giving you a good service. So therefore, there's nothing wrong with making a decision to walk away from something of maybe correcting a mistake. And then you start realizing, and those kind of things, they take the limitations off the whole thing and look at things for what they really are instead of what the world keeps telling us they are. You got to pay your bills. And I think a lot of those companies, the reason they kind of push that issue is because they know they've ripped you off, but they still want their money. So they're going to make you feel guilty so they can get compensated accordingly. So we have to sit there and look at ourselves and go within ourselves and go, what is true and what is not? We have intuition. We have our angels. We have guides. We know. So take it back. And then I tell them, serious, but when you can do that, tell, okay, angels, what am I going to do? What am I going to do right now? And they go, go get some ice cream. Listen. Because like we said the other day, we were sitting there talking about this before too. Like, you're sitting there thinking you have to do something. Is there any guidance coming through telling you anything? Because if there's not, then there's nothing to do. Okay? And then when guidance does come through, then do it completely, fully. But if you're not really picking, if there's nothing really coming to you saying that you have to do something, it's your ego kicking in and saying, ooh, if you don't do this. You know, anytime you make a decision through fear, you're just setting yourself up for more. But when you sit here and step back and look at the situation and really find the solution, what is the solution? Okay, you need money. You're not making enough money at this job. Maybe the solution is to walk away from that job in favor of something else. Because I've always seen people who make decisions accordingly just like that. Not because, like my mom says, you got to have another job to go to. Well, shoot, I came to this job looking for one. You know? And it seemed like it was so funny, too, that when I sit there and put my mind to it, I remember when I was in Colorado, I just walked into this place. My angels came, it was like I got this guy that just walked into this place. And I told a friend of mine this story for one reason. Because if I would have done it logically, I would have never walked in there. It's because it was in Colorado. It's near Manitou Springs, which is it's all tourists. They have a tourist season. They have tourists go through there all the time, but they have a big time, okay, with all the hotels and stuff kick in. But this was in September, so this is toward the end of the season, okay? So as we're toward the end of the season, I walk into this place in September. You know, I just followed it. I didn't question it. I just walk in and say, hello, I'd like to get a job. Get jobs? Yes, we do. But it's at the end of the season, so you probably won't be working for 2 months. But my guidance came in again and said, go ahead and take it. You're going to see why. So I did. All right? As I took this job, which everybody kept on telling me, you won't be here no more than 2 months. I actually worked there 2 years. So, you know, you look at the situation of following through with things spontaneously. When you feed into what's going on now, like we said before, when you realize to now, right now has been created because how you used to think yesterday, what your focus was on yesterday. So here we are trying to change tomorrow. So today is where it starts. Right now, say, okay, what's important? You are. And like we said, and talked about when I was reading this one in this book where it says, I just realized that when I love myself, I love God. When I love God, I'm loving myself. And how this little meditation was getting excited because of that. That's the idea of reconnecting with yourself and realizing that you've been created and God's your father, so therefore we all have the situations of fathers and in the true sense of fatherhood. Okay, guys? I hear people out there going, yeah, okay, my father sucks. But we're saying in the true sense of a father always wants you to exceed his expectations. And when you have people around you who do not do that for you, then it's time to sit there and basically those are dust particles that you need to shove off your shirt, off your jacket, and move on. And people think, in some sense of the word, we have a tendency to fall in that guilt syndrome going, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. Actually, what's happening here, guys, we have to realize one thing about karma. Karma comes through all kind of avenues, and you might be one. So therefore, if you have a voice within yourself that needs to say something, then you need to say it. And with the situation of all the things you got going on in your life right now, it's almost like I have a plan. And follow through with it. But at the same time, ask your angels to keep guiding you. Your guardian angels, your guides, everybody, God, Jesus. My thing in my journal, I was reading this to my friend, and she's like, you have a lot of people you're saying thankful to, aren't you? I said, well, it's one of those things of trying to cover all bases. You know, you felt them, you sensed them. So I just say God, angels, archangels, ascended masters, guardian angels, guides, higher self, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Thank you for all your protection, guidance, and help. And help me to see the signs clearly and to follow through with them spontaneously. So, you know, when you
say right on.
That works for me. So I got this plan. It's a good plan. And if you hear this thing go, no, I'll say, okay, then let's take a step back and just don't get ticked off. Just look at the situation and go, okay, God, just do it. Okay, angels. We had a thing about angels, too. People said, what should you be asking God? I said, didn't it say in the Bible that God knows before you ask? Maybe the angels are there because they already knew. Think about that. So we sit here and look at the situation and go, because I had some people used to come to my shop and they go, hey, you got a Bible on your table. Yeah, on your point. They go, why is there a Bible in your shop? Well, two reasons. It's mine. And I've actually read it, yeah, and it's helped me out a lot. When I was really, when I first went to Colorado, I was doing relationship counseling. a lot of things that have made sense that they were brought out to me because I was doing relationship counseling. And even to the idea of being bold with people, too. I had a guy I was doing, I had a couple I was doing relationship counseling with, and every time I would ask the girl, what does she think the problem is, the guy wanted to tell me. And I told him flat out, stop, please. I'm not asking you. I'm asking her, you know. So I would sit here and say, okay, tell me what you think the problem is. And he'd go, I know what the problem is. This is what's going on. I'm sitting there going, okay, sir, this is not a game show. I saw your hand go up, but you don't have the answers, you know. And I said, we're working with her. And I said, by the way, we haven't got to you yet. If I was you, I'd brace yourself. You know, so it's like we're working on one equation here, but we're going to get to you too, buddy, because you're not excused from this whole situation either. And I finally told I had a pair of medicine balls, Chinese medicine balls, you know, the ones that kind of resonate that little tone.
Yep.
And I paid like $20 for these things. All right. And I'm sitting there. I looked at him and I said, "You know something? I think you need these more than I do." I said, "Every time you think you have the answer, I want you to take these and I want you to start moving them in your hands and focus on them. And then I want you to understand. I want you to sit here and listen to yourself. What do you hear? You hear a nice tone that resonates with you. Focus on that." And I felt like if you focus on that, I was able to focus on her. But it was one of those things that sometimes people have to hear themselves say things before they actually take it seriously, and that's what I was trying to do. And I finally did. And we finally got a good, it was a good thing, but I finally just told this guy, sit on your hands. Actually, at one point, I told the guy to shut up. And he was like, I understand. He was a cool guy because he looked at me. He was in the military, too. It was freaky. He looked at me, and I said, you need to shut up. You need to stop. I said, I need to work with her, and I really hope you understand that. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you got to stop. And the guy looked at me and said, you're right, and he did. I mean, he was, you know, it was just one of those things. It was a lot of us have a lot of instinctful things in us, and we think this is the norm. So we follow through with those things. We don't realize that they're working against us, and a lot of times within our subconscious mind, it's the same thing going on. It's just under the surface, and we're sitting there going, well, why do I keep reacting this way? And so with you, what I would do, there's this book called The 21-Day Consciousness Cleanse, a breakthrough program for connecting with your soul's deepest purpose by Debbie Ford. And it's basically like any other kind of cleansing, but it helps you to get to a point in your life where you can clear those. There's things in our subconscious mind, there's things in our conscious mind that we've been subjected to that sometimes are just right underneath the surface that are working against us on our prosperity. So the idea of being very playful, I would get that book, and any kind of meditations, anything you do, have fun with it. The more fun you have with it, you actually raise your vibration. In the process of raising your vibration, you start attracting all the things that you need, opportunities, whatever it is. And if you have this breakdown in your prosperity, take a look at all the balances within your life, man, seriously. If you are a person who's a doer, you also got to be being. You got to be doing and being. So there's a time to do things in the physical sense, but there's also other times of sitting back and just being. And that's what we were talking about before when I sit here and said, if you get guidance that comes to you and says you need to do something, that's the doing part. But if you get a point where there's no guidance coming through, that's when you just allow yourself to be and let things be and let things unfold naturally. I didn't mean that rhymed. Same thing with giving and receiving. If you're a person who's giving and constantly giving and giving and giving and giving, you're not opening up the other part of the situation. It's receiving. Do we or do we not have a front door and a back door? Okay?
Yep.
And it's like, right. Well, if you live in an apartment, sometimes you don't. But or if you people got trailers, your back door can be dangerous because there's no steps there. But on the normal sense, we all have back doors and front doors. So even in a lot of things that we don't notice or take notice of, they're there for a reason, to keep a constant flow going in our lives. If we would just do the same thing within ourselves, we'd be okay. So keep an open mind and just go with the flow and the whole thing. Like, for example, another thing, too, I was actually sitting down and writing a list about who I want to be with, a description. And it was funny. I was rewriting things down going, okay, she's 5'4". And I hear this little voice saying, no, she's 5'3.5". You know? And I was like, okay, somebody's helping me here. And then I sit there and go, okay, she has blonde hair. And they go, no, she doesn't. She has blonde. She has brown curly hair. And I said, okay, about shoulder length. No, it's very long. You know, and I'm sitting there going, okay, I got. I'm serious. Guidance is always there. It's always center dictating and talking to you and all that kind of stuff. You just need to listen. So, you know, I was sitting there going, you know, and I even said, she has to have blue eyes. No, she got green eyes. And sometimes they turn brown. That's okay. You know, it just seemed like that. And it was giving me this description and that kind of stuff, and I was sitting there focusing on American Girl, and I said, nope, she's not American. You'll find out. So it was like those kind of things. But then we have a tendency to go, well, should I go back to Colorado? And there's like, no matter, and that's like, I like guidance coming through and saying, no matter where you go, you will always find that, that person will always find you. It's to realize the thing about soulmates and twin flames is it's always a heart connection. And it's like having two grappling cables, okay? You ever see that little thing on the front of a Jeep? Imagine two people. She's got one, and you got one. But there's only one cable, okay? You're connected. And in the process of spontaneously loving each other, loving yourselves, those cables start pulling you together because you're actually coming to a point where you're on the same level, on the same page. So when you're on the same page, on the same level, what happens? The cable, it makes it easier for it to even pull you two together. You know, if there's one, if one's on the heel and one's on the ground, you know, the idea of pulling that thing can be difficult. Okay, so you get a slow movement. But as soon as you guys are on the same level and you're actually allowing things to happen letting yourself be attracted and pulled to each other and just allowing it to happen, that cable spontaneously just brings you together. And that's the connection we talk about all the time. So there's nothing to worry about, to realize one thing. If you're sitting there working on yourself and getting to know yourself and putting that energy into that whole thing and doing your chakra clearings and stuff and finding the affirmations to call in your soulmate, who says the other person's not doing the same thing? Because that cable can also do the same thing with information. So what you do to yourself, they're going to do to themselves. So actually together, even when you're not together, you're still working on getting together. So how could you fail? Everybody's like, well, okay. I'm sorry, John. This is where you actually get the input. I'm sorry, guys. When I go, I go. I got the cards laying here, and the information was just there, where you just want to make sure that everybody understands that whatever's going on in your life right now, it's an illusion. But when the messages come through and the information you get that, take that information and start working with that. And I guarantee you that the illusion that you've been living will be a thing of the past.
Okay. Beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, John, wow. I hope we helped you out. Dee, do you want to add anything to that?
I don't know. I've been sitting here listening to all this and thinking of, I guess in the beginning I was thinking about, you know, for him, since he really wants to find someone, go out and do, well, you told him to go out and do things, to be playful. Find, you know, go places, maybe some place you haven't been before. Find some new interests. You never know who you're going to find right around the corner.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do things that you really enjoy doing, and don't let your friends drag you down. Be happy within, you know, you've got to be happy within yourself. When you feel happy, you'll radiate that happiness to people around you. And you'll find somebody, because I think she's, you know, just around the corner. But you just got to turn that corner.
Exactly.
You walk around the corner and go, smack, okay, wow, literally.
Well.
I met a girl at a skating ring, you know, fell on my ass, boom. Okay, hello. And
wow.
It helps you out. And next you know, you go home and have, never mind. Well, I'll go any further than that, but I'm just saying.
Oh, you're no fun.
Well, I appreciate it.
It's a spiritual show. It's not a free. So we have to keep it in some kind of parameters, I think. Anyway, but
I appreciate
it. Like I said, you're no fun. But you're right. I think you'll find it sooner than you might expect, just because I think you're gonna take in everything that Donnie said, you're gonna take in what I said, and you're gonna start doing, you know, things for your, more things that you enjoy doing. You're gonna tell your friends in your mind, at least, you know, you, and do what you want, And you're going to find yourself being, you know, you're going to find yourself smiling more. You're going to feel,
so,
you know, there's going to be that inner joy.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking about, too. It's like, you know, like you said before, we have information come from me, her, and everybody else. And it's, you know, it's up to you to take that information and utilize it and do what you got to do.
Nice.
And like, that's like, I won't sit there and say exactly the way she said that, but yeah, it's like your friends and stuff like that. You can sit there and do what she says, which, you know, a lot of the time there are situations where there's times that just go on, you know, forget you, because people have a tendency to be really pushy about their advice. But when you sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, this person is saying something that doesn't resonate with me, but it does tell me something that I feel like I'm on the right course myself. That's what, you know, guidance is everywhere. It just might actually get you to a point where you realize you are going in the right path and you're going the right direction. So you're using that information as leverage to get what you want. When someone says you can't do it and you know for a fact you can, you take that and motivate yourself to get exactly what you want. Even if it's just to prove them wrong. I always said to say in the process of proving you wrong, I also get what I want. So, you know, do that.
Oh, I don't mean you have to cut your friends out of your life. You just have to realize that they don't always have your best interest at heart, and if you find that, you know, you're in a situation with them and they're dragging you down, you just say to yourself, no, I'm not going to let them drag me down because I'm going to be happy. I'm doing what I want to do, and I know I'm doing what's right for me. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's right for them or not. It's what,
right.
It's
you,
what you think that counts.
Yeah, the more you get to know yourself, the more you start realizing who are the real, who are friends and who are not, and realize that some of these people might have been attracted to periods of your life where you were actually feeding into your fears, and they were manifesting in your life to actually reinforce that. You know, our wrench that we were looking for to throw into things. And sometimes sometimes when we get into a really good place, we start realizing exactly what they are. Because I'm a person that said, because a lot of people say, well, this is my friend. I don't want to really get rid of her. I said, well, you got to look at the situation and say, okay, when you start putting people over you, no matter what, because they have the label friend, you should start thinking about that. Because when you start compromising who you are, because I tell people all the time, when it comes to relationships, friendships, any kind of relationships, the one thing you should never compromise is who you are. What you want can be worked out in a win-win situation. There are certain things that maybe they wasn't that important to you, where you can actually sit there and go, okay, buddy, just try it your way. You know, I don't want to go bowling. But, hey, you know something? Maybe it'd be fun. I've never done that before. And that's what she was saying before, try new things in that kind of manner. But if you really don't want to do something, and you just feel like, for example, I was with an ex-fiance, and like I said, never compromise who you are. Okay, I'm a psychic. I do these kind of things all the time. And I got into a relationship where I started compromising that and giving in to her, which got us in trouble. And one time we was going to go to fireworks. And I told her. She told me this 2 days before we were supposed to go to the fireworks. And the feeling I got was, danger, don't go. You know, then 2 days later she looked at me and she goes, maybe you're just scared because you've never been there before in Cincinnati. Cincinnati's scary. I don't know. But I was sitting there going, and she talked me into it. Okay, so we get in the van, we go to the fireworks, halfway there, the van overheats and breaks down. And I tell everybody, you know, in the process of not listening to yourself, it's just not a chain. It's a chain of events. That's not one little thing. In that situation of not listening, our van broke down. Okay, we go to this freaking gas station. We made it to the gas station, but the van overheated the whole bit. And I just started thinking to myself, you know, listen to myself. I knew something was going to happen. And it didn't stop. My ex-fiance was like talking to this guy, and the kids were talking to the guy who said he was going to give us a ride home. And they said, why don't you give us a ride to the fireworks? And I said, no, we're not going to the fireworks. We're going home. You know, when you sit there and see something that happened, that means it's a chain event. And you need to break that. You need to break that pattern right there and then go home. But that's where you're supposed to be at in the first place, right? Well, they still got persistent, and they try to talk to this guy and take him to the fireworks anyway. And they go, well, my friend's going to be there. Your friend is going to be there. No, they're not. I don't know. They said they was going to be there, but I said, people look at me going, what makes you think that? I'm a psychic. And I said, my impression says this is the way it is. And I said, also, as your, you know, your boyfriend and what I feel in this situation, we're going home. Since everybody else can't make the decision, man, someone's got to sit there and put their foot down and say, we're going home. So we go home, and guess what we found out? Our friends who said they were going to be at the fireworks, they were still home. they didn't go. So, see, they would have went down there thinking they were going to have a ride back. And I said, Father, we thought we broke the chain, right? No. Once it was played out, there was some other things that had to go with it. And so we had to go check the van and try to figure out how to get it back and get it fixed. So we let the kids stay with one of her friends and babysit. Okay, we got this whole thing going. So we're sitting there going, okay, we're good. We're going to go check the van out. We'll be fine, right? We come back. The kids are gone. We can't figure what's going on. All right? And guess what happened? The kids decided they didn't like the babysitter. So they decided to go down the neighborhood and start knocking on people's doors and say, we locked them out. They didn't tell them the reason we locked them out because they said we had the babysitters. And the babysitter wouldn't even acknowledge the whole thing afterwards, too. I remember saying this to him, too. But see, we have this one here. What happened? We get home. The kids are gone. And then we have these cops. I was going to say stupid cops. But then we had these cops who were sitting there talking to us and asking us questions who had all intentions of arresting us, who never told us that. You know, sometimes I look at police and the law enforcement, and I still say that if you do anything deceitful to anybody, it kind of defeats and it's contradiction to what you are. And that's why I saw here, too, with that guy. I said, you keep saying that we left these kids here by themselves. You were not here. We know what we did, and then we know where it was. And we still got arrested that night, went to jail. And I was just, like, so funny, man, because we go to jail, and the only humor I had in the whole situation was we were sitting there getting booked, basically. And this place is like Mayberry. And the only thing that was funny about it was as we were sitting there getting processed, I was sitting there watching Andy Griffin. I was starting to hear the music. Dot, dot. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding. I'm in Mayberry, and now I'm starting to hear the music from the Andy Griffin show. And it was just intense.
I don't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah.
I thank you for your insight, but I have to run.
Okay, no problem. We're sorry to keep you, but we hope he helped you out. I'm just trying to give you some insights that when you make the bad decision, the chain reaction, that the opposite is true, too. So I just feel like some of the positive things that you want to do, follow through.
I love it, and I appreciate the insight. I thank you both very much.
Oh, take care. Good
luck.
Thank
you. Thank you for calling us, and please give us a call back and give us an update on how things are going and stuff like that, too, as well.
Yeah, we'd love to find out.
I certainly will. I promise.
Alrighty.
Thanks, guys.
And you have a good night.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night. And you too.
Bye-bye.
Namaste.
Bye-bye.
Namaste.
Namaste. Let's see. I'm going to try the 610 again. 610, hello. 610, what's up? How you doing? How are you? Let's try this one real quick. See if they want to get on. Let's try 901. How you doing tonight? I guess they must be in the same time zone, huh?
Which one's
that?
Let's
try this again. Area code 901. Are you there? And then we have area code 610. You're on the air. How are you? You know, it sounds like someone fell asleep.
I kept hearing that funny noise. It does sound like somebody's snoring.
Okay. Yeah, then we got area code 610. Are you there? Okay. All right, D. We're finished. We're done. We're out of here. I'm going to go.
For some reason, I think of my old somebody I used to know. He was a psychiatrist. Uh-huh. He was also the local doctor in Cabot, Vermont, the last place I lived when I was still married. And I used to
yeah.
see him like at the post office, and he'd say, "You're fine. How am I?"
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was cute.
Freaking,
he was cool.
I was freaking on the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you're fine. How
also,
am I? I'm beginning to wonder. People falling asleep, and my goodness.
Oh, we got to look at the situation. We actually relax them so. excuse me, relax him so much that, they fall asleep.
Yeah, well.
So
they'll wake up eventually and go, what? Hopefully they didn't.
Exactly.
My mother used to be in, when I was growing up and we'd be driving somewhere, my mother invariably rode in the back seat. And she'd sit there and nod off, and her mouth would drop open. Excuse me. Poor thing.
It happens, right?
Oh, yeah. She was interesting. She'd do that sitting in a chair.
Uh-huh.
Fall asleep, and all of a sudden her mouth would just, eventually it would all fall open. Poor Ma.
Holy cow.
Yeah,
actually, I was sitting there talking about it. If you go to my website right now, actually, I got this thing pulled up on there, too, where if you want to buy cards or whatever, like I have on the link page. If you go to the link page, there's books in there, and there's cards. And all you have to do is push on the button, and you go right to Amazon, and you can buy the cards.
Mm. I have a tendency to lose me. I love Amazon, but I do eBay, I do Half.com, Libris, and Barnes & Nobles. I do them all.
I like
to go for the best bargain, but I do love Amazon. And I still got a $25 gift card to figure out exactly what am I getting with it.
All right.
Haven't been led anywhere yet as to exactly what to do. Now, what am I getting that really resonates with me?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's one of those things. Whatever takes you, whatever's good, whatever's going down.
Yeah, well, I $25 won't get me to England.
Never know.
No kidding. Oh, well, maybe $25 will get him over here.
I'm just saying, all those links and stuff that I have on my website, they all go to my affiliate program.
Ah.
So every time someone buys a card or a book or whatever, I get a percentage of that.
Oh, cool. I'll remember that.
Yeah. Me too.
You're right, you will. No, I haven't.
So everybody,
what I really need.
So everybody go to the website and remind me every time.
Thanks. Yeah, I was here.
I was actually thinking about going on there too and getting some more and taking it all out myself because it was kind of amazing that some of the things we were picking up on and that kind of stuff. So
there's so many oracles out there, and I've seeing all these different ones, some of them look interesting. And
I was just saying.
But something it has to resonate with me, because a lot of times something might sound good, and then you look at the artwork, and it's like, if I don't like the artwork, I don't want to be bothered. I've got to really like it.
Right. Well, my goal was to join the affiliate program, but at the same time, we put them on the website. You see all the books. Say, what's so good about it? If you go to, and say, like, one of the cards, or you want to do whatever it is, right?
Right.
You push the button, it takes you to Amazon.com, you can do what you want. And if you see other books that are on there that might not have a link, you can still go there and check them out and find them. And if a person,
right.
I'm just saying, for people who use Amazon, you know, going there and say, well, I like to get this book, and what's the easiest way to do it is just to push a button.
Yeah.
So we check it out.
No, because there's a lot of interesting stuff out there these days.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing what I should be looking for. Because earlier, before the show, I was going to, because I had finally picked my theme music, and I was on YouTube, and I found this thing. What was it? Oh, the heart of the witch. So I grabbed the video to put on my tag page. The other day, before I got booted off and had to rejoin, somebody sent me a YouTube video of Carmen doing his thing about Witch's Invitation. So I listened to it. I saw the thing. I almost left a comment on YouTube because it bothered me, because this guy is so ignorant. It was just one of those things. Anybody thinks if you're a witch, then you're automatically on the dark side. And because the person that he went to see was supposedly a witch and a warlock. Well, as I understand it, a warlock and a witch are two different things, and the guy was boasting about all the things he'd done, and it was just, wait a minute here. This is not accuracy. I think Carmen's one of those people who's the overdone Christian, because that's what I call some of them. They're so overdone, and they think that anything, they think everything is pretty much satanic. You can't breathe. Mm-hmm. And I just find those people very ignorant. And it's like, would you get a clue? You know, I've gotten to that point where I say I came out of the broom closet because I realized that I am a witch. It's something that came down through my mother's side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I know anything about what anybody ever practiced, because nobody was ever doing anything. I was raised as a Christian. But I find that people are so ignorant, and it really irritates me. Because
right.
I don't, you know, would people just wake up? People are so afraid of their own shadow. If you're different, then they freak out. And I think that, because I know one of my friends is all, you know, she's a witch. Although she hasn't practiced anything yet. I mean, she's one of those people that she's also an indigo like I am. And she's had people tell her that they scare her, not because she does anything, but I think it's because of the energy we put off. She and I are those high energy people. And people get scared of something because they don't understand. They think you must be different. Yeah, I'm different, but so what? So are you. You know, we just don't happen to be on the same page because I'm not a sheeple and you are. And I don't like sheeple. They bother me. Because I don't want to be like everybody else. If I was, I'd be like that guy that we tried to get hold of and he was just there snoring. I'd be flatlined. I can't be that way. I have to be who and what I am, and yeah, we each have to follow our own path.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be sheeple. I'd like to find a good set of runes. Somebody did a reading for me. She was one of those that did a reading from the Sacred Path card. No, not Sacred Path. Yeah, I guess it was whatever it was. It was Raven Grimassi's cards, which I have the first set of.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, and because when she did a 21 card thing, and she gave me all kinds of exercises to do, magical things. Yeah, so far I've managed to make a glass that I got to repaint again because the paint all came off. But you know, I've been looking. I would like to find the right runes, but because I've had runes before, but they weren't the right ones. She said I needed them, but I haven't. It would be nice to find a set of like river rocks, because you really can't paint rocks, you know, stuff from the seashore because they're too porous.
Mm-hmm.
But where am I going to find some nice Scottish river rocks? You know, I do know there is a woman that I've bought a couple of things from on Etsy. I bought a couple of her pendants. They're really cool. They're Scottish stuff with sea glass, and one of them just had three little river, I guess they were river, well, it was sea, from the seashore, three rocks piled on top of the other, but the other one had Believe on it or Dream or something like that, and it had, and she had sea glass dangling from it. She might find me some. She was very helpful. I asked her about, you know, how she did her sea glass or something, so you never know, but whatever, you know, because I've been thinking about the things that you've said lately, about manifestation and about how, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to have four readings today or in an hour or what, you know, whatever time, that sort of thing. And you have to be very positive and know exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because I always seem to wind up as, okay, I put it out there, but it didn't come back again. It's like, who snatched it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have said that before, but when I talk, words come out of my mouth. So, because I noticed that when I first, after I met Jethro Smith, after he'd read for me, and he began to know what was going on in my life, and we had talked on the phone one day, and he talked about, he wanted to help me, and as he said, and he doesn't, you know, I don't tell everybody this, but he took me under his wing, which he doesn't do with everybody, and he was saying that once that started, all of a sudden he was just blocked. Things started happening for him that just weren't, you know, shouldn't have been happening just because of my situation. Because I know this is a town with a dark cloud hanging over it, which is unfortunate because it's a very pretty town. But it's got the dark cloud, and there are those people that would love nothing more than to see me run out of town on a rail. And I dug my heels in and said, I'm fighting back. And people don't like it. Well, you know, they're going to have to get used to it because I ain't going anywhere until it's my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep saying it's not my time yet. I'm supposed to be here for a while longer. And I wouldn't, even though it's stressful, I wouldn't trade what I'm going. I wouldn't go back and undo what fighting. I wouldn't go back and give in.
Mm-hmm.
I realize this is, it's part of my karmic thing. I guess probably 1640. Meg stood up and fought back. So, and she said I was doing exactly what I was supposed to do. But some of the things that she said when I had that Akashic reading and she came through, I look at now and I don't agree with her.
Mm-hmm.
So she was saying back then, she told me, and it never happened, that the guy that I really thought I was supposed to be with, his wife didn't die mm-hmm. last year. And I can look at it now and say, I don't know that this guy was actually her husband in 1640.
Mm-hmm.
I think she may have been making a mistake there. Now that I found Tony, and I wouldn't trade him for the world.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love Peter, and I'll always have a place in my heart for Peter, because he's been, you know, one of those people that I can call a true friend, who realizes mm-hmm. that I'm a good person. Doesn't matter what the people around here think. So I don't know. I don't think she had everything quite accurate.
Right.
But, you know, because I would look at my life and I would say, I probably found my twin flame. Maybe I'm wrong. You can correct me if I am.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was a confirmation.
Hmm.
I don't know. I've never, you know, I'm not used to the whole twin flame soulmate thing.
Right.
But to me, I mean, you know, I think that I saw the person. What?
I said I wouldn't say not.
No, because I know there's one woman that, you know, she's supposed to be a friend, but she's one of those that I think she's more like the Anna that we talked to, her friend. It's more be happy for
uh-huh.
my successes, but never mind yours. Because not too long ago, I sent her, because we used to share, you know, whenever we had somebody read for us on Blog Talk. So I sent her something where people were telling me exactly how well my jewelry was going to do and that, yes, I should be doing chakra jewelry and all that. I never had a response from her. So I figured, yep, you don't really want to hear it because your jewelry is doing too well and you don't want me to succeed. You'd rather, you know, you want to succeed, but I shouldn't necessarily. Mm-hmm. Because I know one time something was said because she has the money apparently to go out and go to jewelry, you know, to bead shows and spend like $25 or so on a strand of beads, which I can't. But yet she said something once to the effect of, well, you know, might not be the best quality, but it'd be good enough for me. Well, why don't you just insult me even more? Because that was insulting to me, as if I don't care about quality. Because I do. If I'm gonna put something out there, it's got to be good. I care about what I do, and I'm not going to just throw anything together and here, take it. It's not slapdash. I'm going to make real jewelry. She can make stuff that's made out of good stuff, but it looks more like something like the high fashion, like the fashion jewelry that everybody's touting that's mass produced. I mean, it looks like high price stuff, but it's just kind of like, okay, if that's what somebody really likes, that's great. It's not my taste. And I have a friend, my friend Tina, the one that I said was also a witch. Not her taste either. I like people that are actually going to support each other. I can be happy for my friends. Why can't they be happy for me? It doesn't make any sense, but some people are like that. They want the spotlight. Well, have at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my attitude. To each his own, I guess.
Ack.
That's
right.
To each
their own.
Yeah,
that's what it works. Their own.
Yeah, I know earlier when you said something way back in the very beginning of the show, you mentioned something. Somebody said something about wishes, and it popped into my head that old thing: if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. So I had to go look it up. One of those real old nursery rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Then I'm a curious person, so I have to go look things up.
Yeah, me too.
I'm the kind of person, I like learning things, but I don't, but a classroom is not a place for me. Somebody said that to me once, if you went to college, well, what would they teach you that you want to learn anyway? Which is probably true.
Are they really teaching that you don't know?
No, that's a good question. Yeah, maybe they someday, I mean, I know I have a book, but it isn't enough for me, and I haven't read it yet. But it's all about being an indigo. Because somebody told me once, I met him on a, we never actually physically met, but it was on the True Dating site. And he contacted me. He said he was looking for an indigo woman, and that was when that just sort of, okay, if you're looking for an indigo woman, you know, I must be one. So he's very psychic. We talked on the phone a few times, but he's one of those people that, he's very into Harry Potter, but you have to get him around every once in a while to back to the reality of the fact that Harry Potter is not real, because he'd go off into Harry Potter being real, and then you could get him back. You could get him back to reality again, but he was a psychic vampire. Talking to him, and by the time you were through, you were just he sucked it right out of you.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't connect for too long, but he really could, you know, he had a grasp of reality when he wanted to, but then there were times he'd go off and it's like, no, Harry Potter's not real. Okay, then. You know, let's keep it real. There's a time,
gotcha.
You know, we can all get off into the other world somewhere, but, you know, reality is Harry Potter isn't. And psychic vampires really are too much. Because I deal with another psychic who's a psychic vampire. The thing is, the thing about her is the one saving grace is the fact that she doesn't put me down. But when we do talk, invariably she's calling to talk to me about the man that she's obsessed with. And she won't let go. He's never going to materialize in her life the way she wants. And it's too much. I don't want to know what he's doing now. I don't care. You know, just let him go, but she can't, or she won't. It's like, get a clue, Linda, you're in her 40s now, and this guy is never going to be what you want him to be. He hurts you all the time, so why do you, you know, I don't want to know, and I don't want to answer her questions, because sometimes I'm not even sure if I'm really picking up on anything, or I'm just giving her something. Because it's really, God, I have never been that bad. And I've been bad enough. But she's really out to lunch. This guy doesn't, he just keeps using her. And he hurts her. And why do you want to keep sticking around?
Right.
I don't get it. Because you can't. You can't get through to her. I've had her call me before in tears because somebody who this guy was involved with, because apparently it was another guy, and the guy that her friend got involved with is somebody that apparently he got some government agency thing, and he just, the things that he does are unreal. He contacts this woman and tells her that that Doug's dead, has her crying, like, no, Doug isn't dead, Linda. You know, this guy's just playing with you. Because he knows he can get to you.
Mm-hmm.
I get a clue. I can't do it. I don't know how to get through it. Or you can't. At least it isn't. At least sometimes she goes through stretches when I don't hear from her, which is, this is pleasant. So when she's on her kick about Doug, it's like, no, Linda, just let it go. But you can't. Some people you just can't get through to. And I don't want to continue doing that either. Now, I understand that the woman we talked to earlier. She's got to stand up for herself. Or people are going to walk all over her.
Yeah, some people look at that situation a different way sometimes, too, when they look at it and saying that she might be selfish. But, you know, when you sit there and find out the whole picture, that everybody else is getting compensated with money.
Nice.
And then somebody comes across
too.
And says, you know, someone says, well, you shouldn't be doing it. You should, you know, keep filing